It's showtime, folks!
Hola, this is Shelly Martinez.
This is former WWE superstar Luke Gallows.
This is your boy Shaq Gaslighty.
This is the World Warrior Low-Key.
This is Tyrus Wilson of Ring of Honor.
This is Christopher Daniels. And the gospel according to the Fallen Angels says that you are listening to the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, yo. Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Big Daddy Cool Diesel / Kevin Nash on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, what's up? It's the ODB, One Dirty Bit. Boom!
Hi, this is Booker T, the 5-time WCW champion, and you're listening to SNS Radio Network.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA, and you're listening on the SNS Radio Network. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
The world is listening.
The following program is closed captioned for the thinking impaired.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Due to some violent content, parental discretion is advised.
One, two, is this on? Yo, Jimmy, hit me with that Triple H.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the
three-time
wrestling radio show of the year, Wrestling News Live.
Oh, it's true! It's damn true!
With the bad boys of wrestling radio, the Trey Dog.
He's got his own microphone, Tony. Larry, Mike.
And JJ.
All caps.
Sexy.
Stay thirsty, my friends.
And the winner of the People's Choice Award is...
Wrestling News Live. Here are your hosts, the Trey Dog and JJ Sexay.
All right, guys, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network, also streaming at WrestlingNewsLive.tk. audiowrestling.com, and you can even find the stream over at wrestlingonline.com. I, of course, am Mr. Money on the mic, JJ Sexay, all caps, baby. Got grapes in hand, drink by my side, and a lot to talk about on tonight's show. It's going to be a pretty jam-packed show if everything goes according to plan. We will be running down the news of the week, courtesy of our good friend and sponsor over at www.wrestling-online.com. We will also be taking your phone calls and emails later on in the program. We're going to run down what happened tonight on Monday Night Raw. That's right. It'll be time to talk a little entertainment again. And scheduled to join us in just a little bit, former WWE multiple-time tag team champion, one half of one of the greatest tag teams of all time, well, several of those tag teams, quite frankly, and former TNA star Kip James. I'm talking about none other than the one Billy Gunn, Mr. Ass, if you will. But with that being said, I want to go to the phone line, and joining me right now, he is the founder, the host of Wrestling News Live. Ladies and gentlemen, the dog is in the house.
Guess who's back?
Don't piss me off.
They say I'm cocky, and I say what it ain't. Bragging motherfucker, if you back it up. They say I'm cocky, and I say what it ain't. Bragging motherfucker, if you back it up.
I have a theory about today's WWE that I will put to the man that knows more about who wrestled who and when than I will have ever known in my life, Mr. JJ All Caps. It hit me tonight. Watching Raw tonight, it hit me. I have a theory as to why things are the way they are today. Now, granted, we've been dealt a blow with losing Edge, and we've had, you know, a lot of top guys. I can think of four off the top of my head, take a bow or take another job or take a back seat over the last year. And I think with that and everything that's going on in the world of wrestling, in the world of WWE wrestling, it's why we are where we are today. And we'll talk about that later on in the show. How are you, partner?
I'm good, man. I'm doing good. Today was the final day I had to go through any kind of dental surgery. They finally completed the third and final step in the root canal. It's done. It's been filled. You know, I'm feeling much better today.
Just FYI, there's going to come a time in the next, hopefully, 6 months that I'm going to miss a couple shows, probably. I'm going to have some real dental shit done to myself as well. I'm going to have some extractions, and I'm going to have a new bridge put in. And that's going to hurt.
Oh, yeah. Having teeth pulled is no fun ordeal.
And having them put in is not fun either.
Oh, yeah. No doubt about that. No doubt about that at all.
But I'm going to have some teeth pulled and a new bridge put in to replace them. And I'm suffering from an extreme toothache this afternoon. I've taken my pain medication. Well, I've taken my pain reliever, but I haven't taken my quote-unquote pain pills. Because I didn't want to be too loopy for tonight's show. We've got one of my favorite guys, hopefully, if all goes well, of all the monikers you called him, which were all the nicknames that he went by, my favorite would still be Badass Billy Gunn.
Yeah, good old Badass Billy Gunn. I kind of liked Rockabilly, though, too.
Rockabilly was good. And I did like the one Billy Gunn. It never took off with the WWE audience.
Well, you know, that's something I want to talk to him about. I mean, I kind of thought that he was over like Rover. And I have a theory that he was originally scheduled to be the guy that Rikishi got the push on. You know, when Rikishi was found the driver of the car that ran over Stone Cold Steve Austin.
I did it with a rock.
I think that in theory it was supposed to be Badass Billy Gunn.
Now, granted, he's done numerous shows. He probably won't remember me at all, but when I tell him that his girlfriend actually made me a shirt just like his No Introduction Needed t-shirt, and I wore it on the pay-per-view, I'm sure he'll remember that. That was a good time. And it's on the Unbreakable pay-per-view. If you have the Unbreakable pay-per-view, the only Unbreakable TNA did, as Kip James, he comes to the ring, and I'm in the front row wearing his shirt, and he poses with me on camera, which is pretty cool.
Was that the No Introductions Needed shirt?
Yeah, No Introduction Needed. I always thought that was a pretty cool idea. When he debuted, they didn't have a name for him yet, as the story goes.
Well, I love the fact that when he debuted the name Kip James, it was, you know, basically in reference to the Dave Chappelle show with the whole, you know, I'm Rick James, bitch.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
That should be interesting to talk to him about a lot of the controversial stuff, you know, the Billy and Chuck syndrome, you know, what was really going on there.
You know, I can't remember if it was the Edge DVD or if it was the old Triple H DVD or something I saw, because I've been watching a lot of WWE films on Netflix. One of the things I saw was a tag team match against Chuck and Billy with Rico. And you know what? Chuck and Billy were a good tag team.
Oh, yeah, they were.
They were a great tag team. And they did exactly what they wanted you to do. They went out there and wrestled, and you hated them because of the stereotypical fucking gay tag team. They made you hate them, but goddamn it, they were good at what they did, and they were a good tag team. But, I mean, Billy Gunn is a great tag team wrestler, period.
Well, absolutely. You know, the thing I always liked about the Road Dogg and Badass Billy Gunn is the fact that, you know, Road Dogg was the charismatic one. He was the one that could talk on the microphone. You know, he could draw the people in. And, you know, Billy Gunn, not so much. But he really had the ability to shine in the ring.
I think Billy Gunn is a guy who, once DX was over with, and I don't know, I think Chuck and Billy put him on the map as well. I mean, hell, they made USA Today as a gay tag team. You know, there's a funny story in that too, but I think once DX was over with, he never really got a good chance with the crowd. The crowd never took to it. You know what I'm saying? And that's sad because he was a great tag team wrestler. And, you know, TNA had the chance, another drop ball by TNA. And I don't know his I don't know his feelings towards TNA, and that's one of the interesting things. Is the last time I interviewed him, he was a prominent member of their roster. But I want to find out what he thinks. If it's what I think it is, it should make for some pretty funny radio. But TNA had the chance, JJ, to do something that had never been done before, that I think everybody wanted to see. Granted, a little long in the tooth, but, you know, obviously still able to go. They had a chance to have the Outsiders versus the New Age Outlaws. The tag team match every tag team wrestling fan would love to see. And they never pulled it off.
That is true.
So, I don't know, just another screw up by the TNA brass.
Well, you know, it happens. Again, we're not booking the companies. We're not, neither, you know, we don't profess to be the bookers. You know, I know a lot of times we get heat for fantasy booking.
I'm just a Booker T.
Now, speaking of that, before we actually break into any news, I did read something that our good friend Mace, one of our longtime loyal, the original fucking foreign kid, Mace, from Australia, had said something on Facebook in regards to Tough Enough. Now, I'll be real honest. I have not watched Tough Enough this season. I'm gonna catch it on a backlog. As soon as I get a chance, I'm going to watch all the episodes back to back. But I've not watched
it. Speaking of Tough Enough and you not seeing it, here's a curveball for you.
Okay.
And the reason I quit watching this channel that I was madly in love with at one time, and for about 6 months you couldn't walk in my apartment and that channel not be on my TV, G4 is playing Tough Enough.
Really?
Yes. They had 3 back-to-back-to-back episodes on Sunday. And I thought, holy shit. Now, granted, I like Tough Enough, so it's not a big issue. My issue with G4 was all the cheaters and cops and Stargate and, you know, all this other sci-fi crap. I don't want to see that. I want to see that, I'll go to sci-fi. You know, I go to G4 for video games. But, hey, who am I? Anyway, JJ doesn't watch Tough Enough. I'm just allowing him to know that there's a place where he can watch it when he decides to.
Well, that's cool. It's not that I'm boycotting it or I just don't want to watch it. It's
just haven't had time.
Exactly. And I don't have the USA channel in Canada. So I watch everything WWE related on the Score. And to my knowledge, if Tough Enough airs on the Score, I'm not sure what day it airs on. So, I haven't been able to watch. However, back to what Mace had said on Facebook, apparently Booker T made the comment that, you know, basically you need to suck it up if you're hurt. And I don't know the full story on what happened, but Mace was kind of talking about how that's not a very good business model for the way things are today, considering Edge just had to retire because of nagging injuries. But, you know, I think what people are missing, and I think Mace is missing this, is that in professional wrestling, a lot of times, back in the old days especially, that was your job, and sometimes you worked hurt. It showed
like
that
the
you
NFL.
Had,
I mean, yeah. Are you hurt or are you injured?
It showed that you had heart, and I think that was really the point that we were trying to hammer home with this.
Well, I mean, there's a difference in being hurt and being injured. If you're hurt, you can go back. If you're injured, you're screwed. If you're injured, they're giving the X. If you're hurt, what Booker was saying was get your ass up, get back in there and do your job.
Now let's go to the phone lines, of course, sponsored by HeadlocksToHeadlines.com. And I believe joining us on the line right now, we have, ladies and gentlemen, former WWE multiple-time tag team champion, former TNA talent as Kip James, but we know him the best as Badass Billy Gunn. Billy, how's it going?
What's going on?
What's going on, man? You know, they say no introduction needed. I wondered what introduction he was going to give you.
Yeah, just sitting here, you know, just watching my TV show, waiting to call y'all, and at 11:45 at night.
Yeah, we're on late. We're on for the late night crowd.
Yeah, well, that works for me anyway.
We're actually, I don't think we're politically correct enough for prime time.
Yeah, probably not.
No, probably not.
Hey,
so I
want you to let you
just talk about Tough Enough, right?
Yeah,
yeah. We were talking about how Booker T had made a comment about, you know, if you're hurt, get your ass in there and work. And one of our listeners had a problem with that, saying, you know, with today's business model, looking at an Edge having to retire from nagging injuries, that's not a smart move. And I said, well, there's a difference in, like in football, there's a difference in being hurt, difference in being injured.
Yeah, so back in the day, if you're injured, you ain't getting paid. Or if you don't work, you're not getting paid.
And a lot of times people were afraid to even say anything about being hurt or injured because they didn't want to lose their spot.
Exactly. That's the truth. That is the truth, too. Yeah, you just work hurt. You just got to man up just a little bit. Nowadays, everybody's catered to so bad they get turf toe or something like that, and they whine and cry and get to sit home for 6 months.
Now, I saw some pictures of you on the internet yesterday for something that you did recently. Are you getting bigger?
No. I wish I was getting bigger. I'm not. I think I'm shrinking.
You're shrinking?
Older, as they said, that you shrink back. You go back down.
Yeah, I think the shrinkage they were talking about was something different altogether.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'm getting bigger.
Well, you look good, man. What are you up to these days?
Oh, thanks. Do what? Say that again?
What are you up to these days?
I'm just, you know, just doing my own thing. I do, me and Road Dogg work a lot together. You know, we still tag together. So, just doing a bunch of independent stuff. Just got back from Halifax, Nova Scotia. I was there for a week. And I work part-time at this sports-specific gym. It's called Champions Training Center. Mm-hmm. I love it. But I'm still, you know, I still work. I still do, you know, appearances. I still do seminars and whatever. You know, whatever comes my way that I can do.
Now, we were told that you got something coming up with Shawn Michaels, as a matter of fact.
Who, me? I don't know.
You don't?
No,
somebody
I don't.
Somebody told me you were working an indie show somewhere with Shawn Michaels coming up.
Oh, I thought that'd
be pretty cool.
Yeah.
So you're still teaming with your partner then?
Yeah. I haven't heard anything where I'm going to be where Sean's going to be yet. That's for sure.
Huh. As long as you and Road Dogg are still working together, that's worth the price of admission right there.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, he's still tremendous. I mean, he's, you know, still does what he does, and that's talk a lot, and I do what I do, and that's work a lot.
We were just talking about that earlier about, you know, and of course, TNA, how many times they've dropped the ball since they've been around, but one of the many was an opportunity to have, we just had on one show a few weeks ago, we had both Hall and Nash, and we were talking about how TNA had the chance at one point to be the one company that could put the outsiders in the ring with the New Age Outlaws, and they never pulled it off.
Right. You know, well, I mean, it's what it is. I mean, you know, it won't be the first time in my career that, you know, I got passed by, so probably won't be the last. Well, it might be the last because I'm fading out.
Well, I wouldn't say fading out. I'd just say you're taking it easy.
Yeah, well, either way, taking it easy, fading out, whichever one now, suits me at the day, I guess.
Just in case you remember or don't remember, And I don't know if you still got the same girlfriend or not that created the No Introduction Needed t-shirt.
That was my wife, yeah.
She's your wife now. She was your girlfriend then, but she's your wife now. Yeah. Tell her I still have that t-shirt that she gave me.
Okay. I will, yeah.
I was the one that she made that shirt for, and I still have that son of a bitch hanging up in my closet.
Good. At least somebody still has one of those shirts.
Yeah, I mean, I got mine before they were for sale.
Yes, yes, you did. Yeah, if she gave it to you, then yeah, you did get it. Because she don't give them things to nobody.
I was shocked as shit. Got it in the mail one day, and it was right before Unbreakable.
Right.
I was like, holy shit. No, but man, I got so many things that I want to jump in and ask you, but we should probably do it chronologically. JJ, you had some questions about some WWE stuff.
Well, yeah, one of the things I want to talk about, and this has been, pardon the pun, a smoking gun of mine for a long time, but one of the things that always kind of bothered me was, you know, once they broke up the Smoking Guns and you moved on to the New Age Outlaws, were a part of DX, and then when Steve Austin was hurt and they had the big storyline about who ran Steve Austin over, I always kind of felt like that was tailor-made for you. That was supposed to be your push. And then, lo and behold, Rikishi comes out of nowhere. I did it for the Rock.
You know, I heard that. Well, I was out. See, when all that happened, you know, unfortunately, me and him went out at the same time, and they were kind of, for what I heard, they were supposed to do that with me, too. I heard that was my spot to work a thing with Steve. And, yeah, all of a sudden, I heard, okay, that's what you're going to do. And then all of a sudden I heard, yeah, we're going to let Rikishi do it. But why they would let him do it, why, you know, I didn't understand it at all. But you know what, I have no control over that. I really don't. I've never had any control over anything there. You know, then they're going to do what they want to do. And, you know, it was, I don't know what it was. I'm sure it was somebody said something or somebody did something and said, you know, whatever. But, you know what, I don't sweat it. It's you know, I know what I did and what I do there and what I've done, you know, the, you know, 12, 13 years I was there, that I did everything that they asked me to do. And just, you know, I think that was my problem. I think that was half my problem, is that I just did what they asked me to do because I enjoy what I do. I enjoy, you know, working. I enjoy, you know, making other people, you know, big stars and, you know. But it's just one of those things that happen in this business. I mean, you get, you know, you take it and just go on with it, I guess.
See, I always felt like you were one of the most athletically gifted guys on that roster. I mean, regardless of, you know, how the office might have felt about your mic skills or anything else. And I thought you were pushing 99, where you won the King of the Ring and then had the match with The Rock at SummerSlam. I thought you were on a pretty good push. I just always wondered what halted that push.
No, I have no earthly idea. I mean, I wasn't doing anything I wasn't supposed to do. I wasn't, you know, and I wasn't a pain in the ass. I don't know what it was. I mean, I asked myself the same question. But, you know, winning King of the Ring was, you know, something that was actually pretty cool, and they turned it into, you know, it was like nothing. And then I did the thing with The Rock, which was actually really good. I mean, I thought it was good. Rock thought it was good. And then all of a sudden, boom. I mean, it was just, things are just handed to me, and I would do did the best that I could and did everything I was supposed to do, but it just seemed like it was like, you know, okay, here you go, no, not yet, here you go, no, not yet. You know, and that's the whole, I guess that's, you know, what they thought was cool, or what they, you know, they like messing with people up there. They like, you know, they think it's funny, and it's really not funny. It's just, you know, but I can't complain. I had a pretty good career there, so whatever.
I still say one of the best lines in the 15-year history of this radio show from any guest, one of the best lines was from you when you were talking about how you enjoyed being at ringside and messing with the people in the crowd, and how people would talk shit, and you'd say, screw you, I've already got your money.
Yeah, I love when people talk shit. I love it. It works for me because I already got their money. I got their money. You can talk whatever you want to me.
That was one of my favorite lines.
My merch.
Screw you. Go buy my picture.
Yeah.
Go buy my picture.
Yeah. Exactly.
We were just talking before you came on. I was watching. I just got this Netflix thing. It's new to me, okay? You know, hey, say what you want. It's new to me. But I started watching all this WWE content they've got on Netflix, and there's a ton of it, which you can just stream right to your damn TV, which is amazing, because they want like $20 a CD for that shit, and I'm getting it for $8 a month. Screw them. But I don't remember which one it was. It could have been the Edge DVD. It could have been the Triple H DVD. I don't know which one it was, but it had you and Chuck and Billy Days in a tag team title match. And I was just bragging about how good of a tag team, regardless what people think of that tag team, how good of a damn tag team that was.
Yeah.
And how it served it served its purpose so great because you hated them, and that was your job, was to hate them.
Yeah, I mean, it was good. People ask me that all the time. I mean, when I do radio, I don't really do radio interviews anymore because it just got just got too out of control, and they asking stupid stuff. And
you remember when you had that match? You remember that one time?
Well, it's what they do is they try to. You know, everything you do in this business is you do it to the best of your ability. They give you a gimmick, and you don't like it when you try it anyway. The only one that I didn't put any effort into was Rockabilly. That was not going to happen because it was so ridiculous that I wasn't even remotely going to do it. You know, when they told me about that, they said, oh, it's going to be great. You know, you're separated from Bart. We're going to do this big, there's another. That was supposed to be another one of my big pushes away from him and start doing. And they put me in a bedazzler jacket and put me with Honky Tonk. Please give me a break. Stop it. So, but when me and Chuck did our thing, we went into it, we had fun with it. We just had fun with it. Just like everything, you just have fun with it. You just do it, and if people start buying it, they start buying it. And I mean, from the get-go, people bought it. They thought it was either, we were heels at first. It was just like the same thing with the New Age Outlaws. We were heels at first. People hated us. And then all of a sudden, we could do no wrong. And it was the same thing with me and Chuck. Everybody was going, oh, my God, this is so ridiculous. But they still bought it. They still watched it. And then we took it even a step further and did, we were going to be life partner things. And it was amazing how many people hook, line, and sinkered that one. It was
USA Today.
Yeah. I mean, we did Good Morning America, Howard Stern. We did every radio. We're on every paper. We were in Time Life magazine. Because they bought it. I don't know why they bought it, but they bought that for some reason. Whether they thought it was, oh, my God, this is so over the top that we just have to do something with them or get them on our show or something. But it was fun. And it was trying to convince people of something that we're really not. When you can do that, it's just like actors on TV. All the gay guys that you see that act on TV, they're not gay, they're straight. But you'll buy it that they're gay because they put effort into it and make you believe what they are. So that's what that was. We had fun, and I loved it.
I really believe the whole cast of Glee might be gay.
Nice, Trey.
I don't think they're acting. But I can tell you this. I do remember being in Oklahoma City, and little things throughout the night you remember because it was so long ago, but it was the night that Taker shoved Jim Ross's face into Vince McMahon's ass. And earlier on that card, on the Dark show, the Dark match, was, to my knowledge, one of the debuts of Chuck and Billy. And you guys were up against the Acolytes at that time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that was kind of one of the things, yeah.
You guys come out and your pink and music, and my roommate looked at me and went, oh, my fucking God. Are you kidding me? And then, boom, you guys were over like Rover. But you were great at what you did. I mean, you were just great at what you did. And it takes talent, man. And that's the thing, like Kurt Angle, when he was a bad guy, goddamn, people hated Kurt Angle. But he's a great guy. But he made you think he really was that kind of an asshole in real life.
Right.
You know?
It's the guys that are good that can convince you of anything. That's what makes people come back. I mean, that's a sign of a good worker or a good person that's good in ring. They will make you, but if you can't make the people half-ass believe, because we've all announced that, wrestling's fake and all, or entertainment and all that other stuff. But if you just put some kind of doubt and make the people believe what you're trying to sell them, then you've done your job, If you try to force-feed them something and they ain't biting, then you ain't doing your job right.
Now, a wrestler told me one time, a long time ago, along with what you're saying, is that wrestling is like a good restaurant. people are going to come back if they enjoy the food. But as the server, you want them to come back and see you. You want them to request you to be the one that serves them when they come back to that restaurant. It's kind of like wrestling. You put on the show of the night, you steal the show, they're going to remember the night they had, but they're also going to remember that match the most.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
they're going to come back for that.
That's so true. That is so true because every time me and Brian went out, every time me and Bart went out, every time me and Chuck went out, it didn't matter. We always said if these people are here to see somebody else, if they're here to see Steve Austin, if they're here to see The Rock, if they're here to see Hunter, if they're here to see Taker, if they're here to see whomever it is, you know what? If you steal it, just like you said, if you steal it and make the people just get completely into it, then they go home and go, you know what? I went to see so-and-so, but Chuck and Billy will be great. It was so good. It was entertaining. They were, live with the crowd, and, they weren't just paying attention to the guys in the ring. They were trying to get everybody involved, and you know what? When they come back, if they're on the card, I'll go back again because of them.
Well, that was something that I noticed a long time ago. That's why I brought it up earlier. We've already kind of hit on it, but you, of all people, in your entire career, be it no matter who you tagged with, what, heel, face, whatever, you always fuck with the crowd. And I always look, and just because sometimes the mic will catch what you say and it will crack you up, but you always made it a point to mess with the people in the crowd. That was one of the things I loved about you.
Yeah, and you know what? It's that's so lost these days, and they don't pay attention to people in the crowd. Well, that's bullshit because who's paying to come to these shows? You know, it's not the guy that I'm wrestling with. He's getting paid no matter what. But the people anywhere it's like when guys are like new to the business and go out and go, well, these people suck. You know, the people aren't any good. They're not clapping. They're not buying anything. Well, that's bullshit. I'll tell you that right now because you know what they're doing? They're not paying attention to them. I'll tell you what, I can go out and I'll go out in a mask. People won't know who the hell I am. I'll find one person and absolutely browbeat the shit out of them or got to get them going, whatever it is. And if you pay attention to one person in the crowd, the whole place, it'll be like that wave. Everybody wants you to talk to them. It's not because you're a big star or anything. It's just because they're getting paid attention to you.
Right.
And that's what they want. I'm paying $100 to have my kids and me come to a show, and I'm not getting, and yeah, we're into it, but nobody's paying attention to me, or they don't care what we're doing or not doing. Then, but if you just recognize them or just look at them and give them some kind of look, or if they're screaming at you, you look back at them, tell them, hey, you better sit your ass and see before I come out of this ring and beat your ass, then they're going to go, holy shit, he just talked to me. Oh, I can't. and then they feel like, hey, you know what? I don't mind spending that kind of money when people will do that. And I've always been kind of a people person anyway. I'm not that much into. I am into the wrestling part, but I'm into the wrestling part to feed more to the people. I'm not in the wrestling part to make me better at wrestling. I got that shit down. I mean, I don't bounce all over the place. I don't have to fly all over the place because I don't have to because I already got the people in my pocket.
Right.
I just have to recognize them or acknowledge them, and I got them. They don't get that, if I don't fly all over the place.
That fan could have been there to see Stone Cold Steve Austin, but he goes home and tells all of his friends the next day at school, Billy Gunn told me to sit down and shut the fuck up or he was going to whip my ass.
Exactly. I mean, that's who pays for us to come, and that's how you put asses in seats the next time you come to that town. Is because you just pay attention to the people. I don't give a shit if there's 20,000 or there's 20 people there. If there's 20 people there, I'll get every one of them.
Right.
If there's 20,000 people, I'll get every one of them too.
According to our chat room, referees aren't even safe. Our chat room, Anthony says he remembers a time where you yelled at a referee and said, "God damn, you suck."
I do that. I do that all the time.
Nobody is safe with Billy Gunn in the ring.
Yeah, but there's just ways to do things and ways not to do things, and nowadays it's just too many ways not to do things.
It's different.
You're right. I'm just a big people person. That's all.
It's different, though. I mean, I noticed it tonight, and it's something I brought up at the beginning of the show that I'm going to talk about later. But it's just not the same. I'm not so sure if it's because I'm 35 now. And I don't believe in eating, my vitamins and saying my prayers anymore. I don't know what it is. It's just different.
Yeah, it is different. It's just a different, almost a different era now. It's like there's no gimmicky people. Everybody's got to be their real name and be, you know, whatever they are in, like, real life.
Right.
You know, like, it's just all too, I don't know, I want to say it's all too real. It's all too whatever it is. It's like nobody has anything that anybody wants to buy or watch. You know, look at the guys that are really big sellers. Rey Mysterio, one wears a mask, and he's just different. That ain't really Rey. Rey don't walk around with a mask on. Taker, he still does the dark thing, and that's been over for like 20 years now. Because he doesn't change, because it's a gimmick, and people dig that. No matter what he does, people dig it. You know, but if I'm wrestling, you know, who, I don't even know half the people on there anymore. But it's so not people, but I'd say people friendly. It's just because, one, everybody just goes out there and does whatever they do because they know that they're going to get paid no matter what. There's no competition in between the boards. Like when we were all there, everybody would, the match before us, we'd go out there, well, you guys better do what you can because we're fixing to blow this place up. But, and you know, so now everybody's challenging everybody in the back to have the best match. Nobody, I guarantee you go up there now, nobody give two shits about going out. They'll go out there and do whatever they got to do, and that's it.
You know,
there's no competition between the boys. Like me and Bob Holly. Me and Bob Holly, Bob Holly throws one of the best drop kicks I've ever seen. Now, I'll do it too. And then me and him used to, like, fight over who was going to do it the best tonight. And we'd make Vince, we'd make Shane, whoever was around go make and watch and judge. And then it makes it that much better. It makes the match that much better. It makes it getting in the people that much better. Because they see what we're doing because we have fun. And if we have fun, then the people are going to have fun.
No, absolutely. I was going to bring up a question, and they're covering it in the chat room. But my wife had also wanted me to bring up, are you familiar with Dolph Ziggler?
Yes. He's just a clone of me, just younger.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Famaster and everything.
You're better than me now.
But now they're trying to change all that. They're you know, repackaging it. They went from blonde to brown hair.
Yeah, that's what I saw that the other night because I watched Rock's birthday thing for some reason because I
what,
just
what
watched because he makes me laugh. Watch him. I didn't want to watch anything else. I just want to see him because he makes me laugh still. I don't know why, but he still makes me laugh. So, guys, I love his shit. But, you know, Dolph, I went to Orlando. I went to a show and just to see everybody and you know, met him finally. But I didn't realize he did all my shit.
Yeah.
Yep.
If I'd have known that, I'd have kind of might get hot at him. But until I actually saw him on TV and do the famous here, I went, holy crap, he does it better than I do. So I couldn't really get hot at him.
I want to say I saw him on some talk show where they like late night television where they asked him about his influences and he said you were one of the people he looked up to in the business.
Oh yeah, well I've read an interview in a magazine that said it was Kurt Hennig. I said, well, how can it be Kurt Hennig when you do all my shit?
I was going to say I don't remember Kurt Hennig doing the famous.
I don't remember Kurt doing any of my shit, but I know Dolph do all my shit, and the thing that makes me like hot is that he can do it good too.
Yeah, no shit. You want to do it? It's done as well.
Yeah, no, but he's really talented. I think he's cool as shit. I mean, if somebody's gonna steal my shit, at least it's somebody that's talented.
At least it's somebody that
ain't talented. If somebody were to steal my stuff that wasn't talented, I'd kind of be like really mad.
Well,
I might have to make a phone call and see if I can come in for one shot and absolutely destroy him.
There you go. Let's talk about TNA. Things were going, I don't know if they were going well, but they were going. I remember your debut with the No Introduction Needed t-shirt. I thought that was the coolest shit ever.
Oh, thanks.
Obviously.
Thanks.
Obviously. Because I wanted the damn t-shirt so bad.
Yeah,
because
I wanted the t-shirt.
And one of my favorite moments in wrestling was being in the front row at Unbreakable when you walked out and posed with me on the camera because I was wearing your t-shirt. Got my 15 seconds of fame. But what all happened there? I mean, you were there, you were doing this, you did a little bit of that, you know, and the next thing you know, you were just gone. What all happened with TNA?
I don't know. I just, you know, I was there, did my thing, then I was kind of in the background a little bit, then me and Brian did the BKM thing, which I thought was pretty cool, and then they just put the brakes on for some reason because they had nowhere else to go, you know, but that wasn't our fault because, we're not the ones writing the shit.
Right.
So they just kind of put the brakes on that. Then they wanted, you know, Brian to be an agent, and they wanted me to do something else. So they said, hey, we'll put you with these girls. And I went, that's fine with me because, you know, I don't care. I'll do it. I thought it was cool shit. Me and the girls had so much fun that, you know, that's what it's about. It's about having fun. And kind of they wanted to kind of get those girls to step up a little bit. So I, you know, pretty much just took them and, you know, did what I did with them and, you know, in-ring stuff and made them kind of a little bit more personality instead of just a, you know, just something to look at, you know, because, geez, we have enough of that, but let's look at something and be able to work would be nice, you know. And then all of a sudden they just came to me and go, hey, we're going to split you away from them. And I went, what for? It's over.
Yeah.
That's over. Why split it up? I mean, that's ridiculous. But once again, I have no power over that. So I said, okay, if that's what you want to do, then that's what we'll do. So they just, you know, did something and she fired me and I was gone. And then they, you know, just had me kind of work different people. And then they wanted me to be an agent. And they said, well, for our books or whatever, we need to release you, but we're going to pick, this was in December, and then we'll pick you back up in January to kind of clear our books, whatever was going on, it's whatever it was. But then they just kind of lost spot for me, and then I just went, okay, and then just started doing my own thing. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's, they were just going a different direction, going with younger guys, and that was fine with me, you know. I didn't have a problem with it.
Now
I have no control over it, so I don't really sweat it.
Right.
The million-dollar question in the Cute Kip days, did Tori Wilson know you were raiding her wardrobe closet?
That's your million-dollar question?
That is the million-dollar question. It used to come out.
My million-dollar question is, did you ever see Velvet Sky naked?
No, I never saw anybody that like that. None of the girls naked. Never, never, never.
Never. Your wife must be in the room.
No, she's not.
Well, it sounds like you were you were fortunate enough not to be the ring announcer or the ring crew guy that walked in on Awesome Kong when she was changing.
Oh yeah, no kidding, good boy. I don't know what it is with me and having to work with girls. I don't know what that is. Girls with like zero personalities, they make me work with. So they go, hey, can you give them a personality? I said, no, if they ain't got one, they ain't going to get one from me.
Right.
I mean, unless they suck some of my talent out.
Hey,
no,
that's
fun.
A tough price to pay, but hey, I can go for it.
No, but
I always knew you were a giver.
Stuff that was, you know. You know, me and Tori did some stuff. It was fun. It was what it was. And then, you know, of course, Velvet and Angelina, I did some stuff. That was actually really fun. I mean, we did some I did some crazy shit. You know, I dressed goofy and came out and whatever. But it was fun. I was having fun. And that's you know, another thing. You know, the people dug it. I mean, they're chanting Kip the whole damn time we're out there. You know, so it's like, so the people dug it. They liked it because they were having fun and they got to see, you know, got to get into something to have fun with it. And I tell them some bitches to shut up every night. That whole Impact Zone be chanting my name the whole time. I tell everyone I'm shut up before I slap shit out of you. And they just do it, keep on going. You
I
know,
can remember
we were trying to be heels.
The one time I tried to get my dad, who's been on the show a few times, to sit down and watch an episode of TNA was the night that you came out with the Beautiful People. And he was like, who's that feller? He's got on half their clothes. And I was like, yeah, that's Kip, Daddy. I'm trying to explain. I'm like, just watch.
Yeah. That's just Kip, Dad. That's just what he does.
You just have to know the guy. It's all right.
Yeah, just, you know,
he's really not like that.
What else he's doing. Yeah, that's just who he plays on TV.
He's not on Glee. It's okay.
Yeah.
No, but I saw, you know, speaking of working with women, I saw that China's coming back to TNA. What do you think about that?
Yes, yes, yes. That's what I heard, and I saw her this weekend.
Now, you know her better than anybody. What do you think of that?
I think it's good. I think she still has TV value. She still has, people still want to see her. They love her. She's tremendous. You know, and it, I think it'd be good if they put her in the right spot there, if they do what, you know, do something good with her and do something right, then it'll work. It'll work. If they don't try to eat her up and swallow her up because, well, she's not going to let that happen, but she'll call me and, you know, I'll tell her not to do shit. But because me and her are really close. I mean, we're like brothers and sisters. We are really close. You know, I think me and her are closer than me and my sister. But she's just a good person. She would be great for that show if they put her in the right spot. You know, plus she will. She's got a good head on her shoulders now, and she's good. And she will, she'll make sure that she's in the right spot and they do the right thing with her. You know, I would love to come back and work with her. Me and Brian. I'd love to have me and Brian come back and work with her. You know, they do some kind of angle where she has a problem with somebody. She says, okay, I got to make a phone call, and all it's going to be is one phone call, and next time we show up, people go nutso.
Oh, the place would explode. See, TNA, let me ask you this. You're well immersed in the business enough to know, on this same episode where China's coming back, they're bringing back Chris Harris, who's an actual friend of mine. And you know the story. He left TNA, went to WWE, got treated like total shit, right, and then never made it back to TNA for some, you know, personal reasons between him and Dixie, and a whole lot of things we're not going to get into. But now he's coming back. We're talking about Chris Harris, who was a member of the original day one TNA roster.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now they're bringing him back this week as a member of Immortal, who is against the original TNA roster guys, as Fortune with AJ and his former partner James Storm and Bobby Roode. That makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, I don't...
You got a guy that would come through the curtain and get a huge pop if James Storm said, I need to make a phone call, I got a guy that'll help us out. And boom, you bring back one of the original members of TNA that was over like Rover with America's Most Wanted, one of the top three tag teams, I think, in the business ever.
Yeah.
And they're putting him with the wrong people. They just, it's like taking Jeff Hardy and making him a fucking heel. What? Last year, he was the hottest motherfucker in the business.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got him. And it was broke, so let's fix it. No, it wasn't broke. What are you doing?
Right.
You know, just
I don't even try to understand this business anymore. I just do my job. Whatever they got. Because there's, you know, the problem is they can come to me with anything. I mean anything. And I'm not just blowing my own horn or nothing, but they can literally come to me and say, hey, we're going to put you out there with this midget. Can you get him over? I'll go, yep, I can. Or, hey, we need you to go out there and work Awesome Kong. Can you put her over? Yep. Can you make her look like $1 million? Yep. Can you go out there and work this broomstick around the ring and then get in and let it do a job for it? Yep, I sure can. And I can do it good, too.
The problem with TNA is they could have your partner, you know, BG James in a feud on TV, and he could say, "I need a partner. I want to make one phone call," and it would be Bob Backlund that shows up, and you're there to beat up your partner. That doesn't make any sense. Why wouldn't he call you? You guys were the New Age Outlaws, but we're going to bring in Kip James to be the guy that feuds with him. We're going to do it different. We're going to put our stank on it. Why? You know?
Right. No, I understand. I'm with you. I get it. I get it, but I really don't get it.
Yeah, I get it, but I don't get it. That's the thing.
Yeah, I get it, but I don't get it.
So, all right.
I don't know. I don't even try to figure that stuff out anymore because it would drive me insane if I were to try to figure it out. So.
Yeah, you need to put a jack of the ties in the back just like the rest of them on the damn creative team over there.
Now, I have a question in regards to the whole Degeneration X faction, basically. I mean, you look at the current day Degeneration X really revolving around, you know, guys like Triple H and Shawn Michaels. But when you go back in the history of what Degeneration X was, it might have started with that. But DX wasn't over until you and BG and China and Sean Waltman were all a part of the group.
Thank you for that.
Well, hey, it's true.
Thank you for that.
I mean, yeah. let's
well,
be honest.
We thought that too.
I mean, you know.
We thought that too, but I guess it wasn't. That's not how it went. That's not how it was.
Well, I mean, if you go back in chronological history and look at 1997, when DX started with Rick Rude and China and Triple H and Shawn Michaels, you know, they were a pretty cool heel group going around doing their thing. And then when Michaels left after Mania and Triple H brought out Waltman, and then you and BG joined the group, that's when the whole thing spiraled. I mean, that was when DX took off.
Right. Yeah, because, you know, because one, we got to do some cool shit. Two, nobody put the reins on us. We got free rein to do whatever we wanted to do. You know, and the thing was, is me and Brian, I think, not what the whole thing was, but me and Brian were getting over fine by ourselves. We were perfectly fine by ourselves, you know, because we weren't in it just for the money and to, you know, stab everybody in the back and screw everybody in the process. And I'm not saying anybody else was, but that wasn't our agenda. Our agenda was to have fun and go and run with it and have fun with it and do whatever, however much success or however much fun we could have. Is that's what we did, and it showed. And then everybody else, once we joined them, then Hunter started having fun, China started having fun, Sean started, because then we all started having fun, because you can't do anything except have fun with me and Brian. We're just going out there to do shit and have fun and zip around and, you know, do whatever it took. And it was, and it showed. And that's what I think the people were really into, is once they heard that music and heard we were coming, they knew they were in for a treat. They knew they were in for something different. They weren't going to see a bunch of, well, they weren't going to see a bunch of wrestling shit from us. We were going to just be as goofy as we could, you know, and maybe wrestle in between. Because wrestling wasn't the first thing on our minds. Going out there and having fun and messing with the people was what we were, you know, about. So, but I don't, you know, I don't know how all that, I mean, it was, you know, a lot of people say that it wasn't, you know, it was what it was, and it really hit it off when we all got together. But it was just, I think it was just the chemistry of everybody. I mean, it didn't just take us. It took everybody to do their part.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, when you look at what you guys were facing, obviously, with WCW, you know, with the NWO, and that really was the turning point when Waltman came back and when Michaels left and DX started. You had, you know, Stone Cold Steve Austin running around the champion, which really boosted things. You had The Rock doing his thing. I mean, but you are guys that I consider to be part of that boom of the Attitude Era. Without D-Generation X, without Stone Cold Steve Austin, without The Rock, the WWE probably would have went bankrupt and WCW would have been the premier product.
Right.
Hands down. I mean, that's you know, that's a given.
Right. Yeah, it was, I mean, yeah, it was, I just don't know. But it was, yeah, I mean, well, I consider us a major part of that. Sure I do. You know, because it wasn't, you know, you had to have guys for all them to pick on, and we had to have guys to pick on that were worth picking on. So, you know, that's what we did. And besides picking on WCW, we picked on them a lot, you know.
Right.
But we, you know, just the stuff we did there and the invasion stuff. And then even at shows, if you go watch some of the shows, even whoever worked at the end, DX was coming out to destroy it anyway, whatever, you know. So, I mean, we were a big part of everybody else getting over, too, you know, because we would just feed off everybody else. And that was a lot of fun. It was fun for us.
I don't know how many times. In that reincarnation they just most recently had with Triple H and Shawn, that I begged and prayed they would bring back the New Age Outlaws for one more run.
That's what we thought, too. We thought that.
And I thought you were close a couple times. I thought you were close a couple times. It just never happened.
It didn't. I don't know why. I don't know why.
But like JJ said, when I think of DX, I think of Triple H, X-Pac, China, the New Age Outlaws, that's DX to me.
Right.
Will always be. And I can remember the night that they, you know, basically kicked you guys out. I can remember going, what the fuck are they doing?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know. And one of my favorite matches, and a listener in the chat room, I'm sorry I don't have it in front of me, but fuck you, I can't give you credit. One of my favorite matches was the dumpster match you did with Cactus Jack and Mick Foley.
Oh, yeah, that was so much fun.
I mean, that
Except
was
the part where I was on top of the ladder and had to fall into that dumpster.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that.
Because Brian wouldn't do it. So me and Jack got to the top and started fighting, and they knocked it over, and off we went.
That was a fall, dude. That was a fall.
And that was my first and last fall from that height. My first and last one. So
we have this idea we're going to put you up on a ladder. We're going to put you up on a ladder. No, you're not.
Yeah. No, I don't need to be out there.
No. So when you guys
okay, you're gonna text, fall, it's okay. You'll fall into a dumpster. You'll be all right. Oh, then what okay. The shit.
What was in the dumpster?
Nothing.
Bugs. Yeah. Bugs.
I mean, they had like at the very bottom, so it takes some of the shock off our feet, but we never even hit the bottom. We hit the damn sides of it.
Yeah.
It's just crash. I mean, Nick's built for that. I wasn't built for it at the time. I was lean and didn't have any fat on me, and Nick had some fat on him, so he hit it and was okay. I hit it and rang my whole damn body.
That's a good thing about Mick. He was built to take the punishment.
Yes, he was, and he could take it too, boy. Jesus.
No, I was going to ask you, you brought up the invasion, and they were talking about it in the chat room, when DX invaded WCW. Do you have any memories from that didn't make it to TV or things that might be interesting that we never heard about?
I didn't pay attention to anything except the people, because they were making me laugh so hard. It was just watching the people, their looks on their faces was priceless. It was priceless. Especially when we come down driving that tank thing or whatever and, you know, yelling at people, and then they just thought it was the coolest thing that they have ever seen. You know, and of course we tried to get inside, and Ben said, of course, if something were to happen, we got arrested or something, he'd come get us, so we didn't have no problem with that. But we were trying to get inside, they wouldn't let us inside, and so we were talking to all the people, and the people were just hilarious. Oh, just funny as hell. So it was just, it was all around cool as shit. It was just fun, you know?
Now, I've seen pictures of you as, when you guys did this again later as VKM, you actually got inside.
Yes, we did. Actually, we did go inside. We
now, how did
got
that
a
go?
Inside, and the greatest thing is we went in right when Hunter was having his match. But I don't know. I think he saw us because he finished and then left and then came back again. So, you know, everybody, of course, everybody's like, oh, my God, what are you guys doing in here? Well, we're going to watch a show.
Now, was there ever any really legit heat? I don't know if this is, and I can't remember back if there was a rumor, something about Dixie Carter was putting up $1 million for DX to come face
her
you.
Her dad was.
Okay.
Her dad was. That was legit.
Okay.
They literally came to us and said, he will put up $1 million. He will get, if they meet you somewhere, they will put up $1 million.
No, I explain
said, well,
that.
Do that. They wanted to call Sean and Hunter out, and they, you know, it was mostly TV stuff, but her dad told us specifically that I will, if they meet you, I will give them $1 million. I will give it to them, or I will give it to a charity or something else that of their choosing if they meet you. And we said, really? $1 million? Why don't you just split it between me and Brian? Shit. Damn. You know, so it was, you know, it was legit. He literally was going to put up $1 million just for them to meet us somewhere, you know, just so they could do whatever. But they weren't going to do that. I mean,
that tells me a lot.
You know.
That tells me a lot about the company that I already knew.
You know, and really, that's one of the things about this company that's always bothered me. I mean, they will do anything to get attention from the WWE. I mean, always referencing the fact that, you know, this guy's a former WWE this, you know, always bringing him up. I mean, I've never understood that. I mean, the only reason Vince started combating WCW was because Bischoff would come out on camera and dog you guys.
Yeah, he would actually, before we went live, he would go on there and announce all our matches and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what forced Vince to go live on Mondays. And, of course, that was the wrong thing to do, because once Vince is pushed in the corner, your ass is history. Yeah. He'll drive it and drive it home. Because he is the smartest mind in this business. I don't give a shit what anybody says. He is the smartest mind in this business. So once he gets pushed and once he, you know, people start getting, you know, he really doesn't have anything against, you know, TNA. So he's not really pushed there. But WCW, you know, Turner thought he had all this money. And he does have an ass load of money, don't get me wrong. But once they start pushing, Vince starts pushing back, shit starts falling down. And that's just the way it goes. And that's what happened because now Vince owns WCW. So that tells you where that went.
Did you actually hear about the latest thing that happened with, I guess they had a meeting with the shareholders about a week ago. With Vince, and some guy in the audience asked when Vince McMahon was going to save wrestling and buy TNA because Dixie Carter wasn't running that company great and Stephanie could do a better job. And Vince was like, well, I would hope so. It's kind of awkward. It was funny. It was good stuff.
Uh-huh.
Was there ever a time that you're doing your thing as the New Age Outlaws and WCW tried to get you guys to come over to WCW?
No.
They never tried?
Anyway, no, we wouldn't win anyway. Somebody from the office had called me one time and asked me when my contract was up and this, that, and the other, and I went, it doesn't really matter because I won't go there.
Nice.
But only because when me and Bart first started, what's Arn's brother?
Oli.
Yes, when him and Dusty were running that company way back when me and Bart were starting, into the 80s, early 90s, beginning of the 90s, we were working with Blackjack Mulligan, and they were doing something down south and were supposed to come by and look at me and Bart, you know, because that's when we were fixing to get hired or ready to go somewhere else besides what we were doing. You know, Jack said, you know, you guys are ready to go. You're wasting your time here. And so he had called them because he's friends with them and asked them to come by. And they said, well, no, because you don't have any talent. They don't have talent. And I went, okay. And then that's like a week later, we went up to do a tryout for WWF. And lo and behold, we got hired. So I had no desire to ever go there because once people do that, I just, you know, and, they, you know, I was still in a good spot and still had, you know, I could do whatever I wanted to in WWE. So, I mean, I didn't have, you know, my loyalty was to them, not to anybody else, no matter what. And that's just the kind of person I am. Once I have loyalty somewhere and they, you know, obviously they didn't think we had talent. So that is another thing that fueled fire into my ass to show them that, yeah, I do have talent. You just lost out on it.
Now, speaking of you and Bart, one of the things that I kind of always wondered, what happened when you guys were split up? I thought you guys were going to have a pretty dynamic feud between the two of you. And I just remember that episode in 96 where you had the match with Bart and you supposedly had suffered a neck injury. And then after that, it was dropped. Like, it's like you guys were just not hanging out with each other. You were done, but you weren't having matches against each other. What happened there?
I have no earthly idea. It was, what was that before? I think that was, they just wanted to get me away from Bart, actually. They wanted to separate us because they wanted to do something, from what I understand, something different with me, something different with him. You know, they just kind of wanted to end that. And then, you know, we had one thing where he, you know, kind of hurt my neck or whatever, and then we just never did anything ever again. And don't ask me why. Don't know why.
And then of course, he went on to get defeated by Butterbean.
Yeah, in the process, knocking out everybody that he wasn't supposed to knock out.
Oh, I know. I still remember when he knocked out Dr. Death. I was amazed. I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, because that whole thing actually wasn't supposed to go that way, but they put the wrong guy in there.
Yeah.
And I told him that, too. I said, if you want him to win, don't put him in there. Don't put Bart in there. They went, Jim Ross went, very funny, Billy, very funny. I went, it ain't going to be funny at the end of this, I'll tell you that right now. You guys don't have a clue. And they didn't have a clue what he was made of. And I tried to tell them. I said, don't do it. And they said, well, we'll see. And I went, well, you saw. You saw. You saw exactly what he did.
What now, my lord?
Somebody and, yeah, I mean, that he hits somebody, and he doesn't just knock them out. He separates everything from their ankles all the way up to their ass. And according, and in my book, if I read something like that, that means the some bitch hits hard. So, you know, I don't know what they were thinking.
What's he on the injury list for? I got his asshole knocked loose last week.
You know what? I've talked to Mike before. I think I interviewed him back in 2004. And we talked about the whole Brawl for All thing, but I always felt bad for him because, you know, he was on a tear just beating everybody, and then he has the match with Butterbean where he gets legit knocked, and right after that, right. It's like the company's like, well, we don't have any use for you. See you later.
Yeah, we're done.
Yeah, well, because that's what they wanted to do anyway, and I'll tell you right now, if they wouldn't have taken him and Mike wouldn't have went and done all that boxing shit, because that just wasn't him. He wasn't a boxer, didn't know how to box. He just hits hard. And just, I mean, it's the same thing. Butterbean can't box. He just hits hard. But he lowers his head and just runs at you.
Right.
You know, it's the same thing Bart did in all those fights. He didn't have any boxing training. He just knocks people's asses out. You know, because he just ducks his head and hit hard. And when he saw the spot, he just knocked him out. So once they brought him in, they took him to some big-time boxing trainer to teach him how to box. And then they brought him back and... shit all over the place, you know, and Mike knows it. He knows. I mean, he'll tell you right to, you know, he'll tell you the same thing I'm telling you. He wishes he'd have never, ever done that because that threw him so much off of his game. It wasn't even funny. It just did.
Right.
Tom.
Questions from the chat room here. One, in your prime with Brian, if you could take on any tag team, anytime, anywhere, who would it be for a dream tag team matchup?
Crap.
Angelina and Velvet are not acceptable answers.
I'm going to say the Head Shrinkers when it was Sam and Junior. Sam and Rikishi, Samu and Fatu.
Oh.
I mean, we never really got to work them, and they're phenomenal. They are both them guys. You know, I don't care what they did or how they looked or how heavy they were good. I mean, they were great, as a matter of fact. You know, and probably them. I would like me and Brian to work them too. I mean, me and Bart worked them all the time, and that was good.
Yeah.
You know, and then if me and Brian would have worked them, that'd have been kind of cool too.
Of course, the chat room is shouting out things like Hart Foundation, Briscoe Brothers. I would like to have seen, this one would have been neat. Let's see, where did it go? I lost my place. Oh, the Freebirds. The Freebirds and the Outlaws. That would have been good.
Oh, that would have been, yeah, that would have been pretty good.
That would have been fun.
Just
for the mic work.
Mine and Brian's style just kind of back. Yeah, if you bring some of the older ones back, or we could, you know, do that. It just wouldn't have fit right, I don't think. It would just be, I don't know, in my opinion, just a little bit off somewhere. If I think about it, it just seems like something would be off.
Right.
I mean, it might not be, but I mean, they were all so good that I don't think it would have mattered either way. You know, I think me and Brian were the kind of tag that we could have worked anybody, any style, any way, anywhere. It wouldn't have mattered.
It had been bad matchups for you and a lot of people on the mic, for sure.
Oh, well, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You guys would have tore ass on that.
Yeah, well, yeah, Brian would have. Yeah, that's for damn sure. Because he can go toe-to-toe with anybody. It don't matter. And right. He don't even have to have anything to say. He'll just spit it out. It just comes out naturally.
You know, if it were up to me personally, I would have loved to have seen a match between you and Brian and, say, Tully and Arn.
That would be pretty good. I think Arn is tremendous. I thought Tully back in his day was really good too. I mean, they, you know, the thing about them is they made every single thing that you did count for something. And the whole thing made sense all the way from the start to the end. People just knew, you know, they could follow along and they just knew how to put every single thing that you did. They just got it over, you know?
Absolutely.
My other chat room question is this.
What do you think about the lack of tag teams now in wrestling, but so much so the WWE?
Well, you know what? It was never WWE was never a tag team company. Vince absolutely hates tag teams. He hates them with a passion. For some reason, don't know why, but because all of his stuff, his bread and butter and his moneymaker is all on single stuff. So he just kind of throws tag teams together to have a variety of something. It's like, you know, tag teams are like the side dish, and his singles is the main thing. But, you know, if you're good at tag teams and you have a good tag team, they can make the whole show work.
Right.
You know, he just doesn't put any emphasis in it, so nobody wants to tag. Nobody wants to be in a tag. If you're up there, you damn sure don't want to be in a tag, because then you'll get no push or you'll get nothing. But then again, that's when guys get in tags, they don't know how to take that to the next level and push it to where it actually means something and people actually take a look at it and will pay attention to it. They just do it half-assed and don't put anything into it. Plus, in tags now, everybody's got to look the same and do the same thing. Me and Brian were so opposite, it wasn't even funny. You know, and that's what made us work, because we weren't the stereotypical tag. We didn't look alike. We didn't do the same thing. We didn't do shit the same. The only thing we did is we knew what each other was doing at all times. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I've never understood Vince's butthurt over tag team wrestling. I mean, you know, that's one of the things I've always enjoyed. I mean, we're talking, this company used to be rich with tag teams like the Killer Bees.
Yeah.
And, you know, just there were so many tag teams at one point in time in that company. It's ridiculous. I get so sick of watching Raw or SmackDown and having to see two guys that are either mid-card guys or two main event talents that they have nothing for, and put them in a tag team and put the straps on them.
Right. Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't
hey, you wear either. Red, and you wear red. We're going to put you two together.
Yeah. I mean, it just never clicked. I don't know. I never got a reason, never got a thing. But, I mean, to be honest with you, the only time tag teams were hot is when me and Brian carried it through. Well, me and Brian did it because they knew that, you know, plus we were part of DX, so plus everything was just, it just all went into place. So now everybody wants to be in a tag to wrestle us and do stuff with us, because they knew that, you know, if you get in a tag and work us, then you get some recognition because DX is so, because you know somebody's coming. You know somebody's going to come bail us out or whatever. Then you get to see all of DX, you know? So, and it's, I don't know, he just never liked him. He just doesn't like him at all.
I'm actually watching the replay of Raw as we speak right now, and Dolph Ziggler has gone from being a Billy Gunn clone to Bart Gunn clone.
Yeah.
he looks like Bart, but he wrestles like you.
Looks like Bart, wrestles like Billy.
Yeah, looks like Bart, wrestles like Billy. That always works.
Oh, man, that's good stuff.
Now which one pisses you off the most?
I don't know.
Well, another question I got clear in the chat room. Obviously, I think things are still good with you and Vince and everything. What about New Age Outlaws in the WWE Hall of Fame?
That's not my decision. I mean, I don't know. I mean, hell, they put Sonny in it. They might as well put us in it, right? that's not being mean. I'm not being mean. I'm just saying. They put her in it. They might as well put us in it. I just mean it like that. Jesus.
Mark tape.
Oh. I don't, you know, maybe they will. Maybe next year they will. Maybe they'll do it when they're in Miami, and I won't have to go that far to do it.
It'll be a good year for
it. And take my wife.
There you go. All right, man. Well, anything you want to pimp out or promote, or anything you want to get off your chest before we let you go?
No. I mean, no. I like talking. I like talking about me.
I'm my favorite.
I'm just look around. I mean, I'm all over the place, and me and Brian got a bunch of stuff coming up. I think not this coming up weekend, but the weekend after that we'll be in Providence, and then we'll be up in Ottawa the next week, and then we got some other stuff coming up. If, you know, people are in town just looking around for me and Don still do our thing and we still have fun and it's all still good and people love it. And, you know, you can't help it, but, you know, Brian's just, he's just a fun person to listen to or just see. I mean, so, you know, so, but we're, yeah, me and him are working a lot together and that's about it. I mean, I'm still having fun. I still enjoy people. I still, you know, like making them do whatever I want them to do. So
I still think that's it. With Sean Waltman now having his own radio show.
He does?
Yes.
Well, I don't know any of this stuff.
You, with your sense of humor, should have your own radio show.
Yeah, no thank you, because then I gotta interview people I don't like.
Well, that comes with the territory. Although we've been pretty, as a company excluded, of course, but we've been lucky. We've had some, you know, I've crossed off some names off my bucket list this year.
Right.
You know, of people that I wanted to interview, right. You know. I mean, we had a 2-hour interview with Kurt Angle that got us interview of the year. I thought Kurt would give us like 10 minutes and be gone, you know, and it turned into 2 hours. And we had to tell him, we're out of time. Sorry, Kurt.
Sorry, Kurt. Thanks. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for coming, but we're done.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, to have Hall and Nash on the same show, especially with Scott in the shape he's been in lately.
Yeah. Yeah,
I feel so bad for that guy.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
But you're talking about how you like talking about you. One of the people in the chat room said, how about the Outsiders, or how about the Outlaws versus the Outlaws? I don't know how you pull it off.
That's too much of a conflict of interest.
I was going to say, you can call Dolph Ziggler, but I'm sure he's busy right now.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Playing the role of... So, is there a website that people can go and find out more information about where you're going to be, or is it just kind of just?
I don't really have one for that. I mean, I know, but I don't. I'm not. I don't really want to talk to people that much.
Well, I mean, you need
to find out that much about me.
A map where it says, "Hey, I'm wrestling here."
My wife does something. Yeah, my wife has something like that, but of course, I don't know what the website is. But she puts it up there and stuff like that on my Facebook stuff or whatever. You know, so she does stuff like that. Right. She's a good old gal.
She is a good old gal.
Yeah, she is a good old gal.
She is a good old gal. I never met her, but goddammit, she got me a T-shirt and I owe her one.
Yeah, right.
Now, you are on Twitter, right?
No. You know what? No, but I went on there and saw me on there. But it ain't me that's on there.
Okay, well, see, I wanted to confirm that because I was told that was your account, so I wanted to make sure.
I know Brian was on there.
But you know what? It might be mine, but I don't know how to get on it. Because somebody was supposed to set it up for me, let me know how to get on it, and I don't know how because I went on there and looked on it, and most everything is on there is like, hey, isn't Dolph Ziggler just like Billy? Same thing you've been talking about.
There we go.
Oh, God, this is cool. This is me, and I didn't even know it was me, and I'm answering my own questions and don't even know it's me.
Well, you should like that. I mean, as much as you like to talk about yourself, you can carry on a conversation with yourself.
Yeah, I know.
Fuck, what's better than that?
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't get any better than that.
Honey, what do you do tonight? I'm going to go on the computer and talk to myself for a couple hours. I'll be back.
Yeah, I'm back in a little while. I got to go talk to myself, make myself feel better.
I have some questions I need to talk to myself about.
Yeah, I need some questions answered about me.
Maybe I get some shit straight.
Oh Lord! Yeah.
All right, well, I just wanted to make sure that you know we got you on here and caught up and found out what the hell you're doing lately because I know you're still out there wrestling. You know.
Yeah, I'm just If anybody's listening, show wants to book me, just find me on Facebook.
So you are on Facebook?
Yes, I am on Facebook.
And you know how to work that?
I do know how to work that because it comes straight to my phone.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it comes straight to my phone and goes, broop, broop, and I know Facebook's on there. Somebody said something about me.
So he's actually...
And if I don't like them, I just delete them.
There you go.
If they don't say good things about me, they get deleted.
Well, chances are that you've already gotten their money anyway, so...
Yeah. I still love that quote. Kiss my ass, I've already got your money. I don't know how many times I've used that since I heard that.
Yeah.
I think of you every time, too.
Yeah. I expect a residual check once a year.
Well, if I could ever get, if I could ever find out a way to get fucking paid, I wouldn't mind giving you a little.
No shit.
After 15 years, I figured out how to book motherfuckers on the show, but I can't get paid for it.
Right.
I got a free t-shirt once.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll see you getting paid in space.
That's about it.
Oh, Lord.
Well, Billy, so but before
I got
we...
Dixie Carter to ask me to come talk to the USA or the Spike executives, and then found out that after that we were no longer allowed to interview their talent because they were too good for us.
Oh, jeez.
The good
I
days.
Think that happened when I was there.
They put the ban on.
No more radio interviews or whatever until they were like, you know, authorized through the office or something like that.
But nobody in the office.
That was probably due to me. That was probably my doing.
Actually, I think it might have been Kid Cash's doing.
Yeah.
Well, his too, probably.
Yeah, he came on our show and said a whole lot of things that weren't very positive, and he got fired the next day.
Oh.
It was great publicity for us because then TNA Wrestling put on the front page of their website, due to comments made on the Wrestling News Live radio show, we have fired Kid Cash. I'm like, well, fuck yeah.
Yeah, great for y'all, right?
I'm a better teacher.
Oh, shit. That's great.
All right, man, we're going to get out of here. We'll let you go. We just wanted to...
Hey, Billy.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me on there. I appreciate it. I've done a radio show in a long time, and when they said you guys were the number one radio show, I figured, well, number one radio show and number one guy in the business, might as well get together.
Hell yeah. Well,
Okay, you guys ready?
Whenever you're ready.
All right. Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn, and you're listening to Wrestling... Oh, shit. Sorry, do it again. News, Wrestling News Live, right?
Yes.
Even though I wrote it down, I still can't even read my fucking writing. All right. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Badass Billy Gunn, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on SNS Radio Network. Now, of course, if you're not down with that, I still got two words for you. Suck a dick.
Beautiful.
Perfect.
Beautiful. Two got takes, it? And we're good.
Okay. Cool.
Well, hey, tell your partner we're going to have him on, I guess, in a few weeks, and then anytime we can get you back, we'll definitely take advantage of it.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Anytime, guys. Just... a number or get a hold of me somehow. I'll do it.
We'll do.
All right,
we'll do, brother.
All right, guys. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for the time, bro.
Okay, buddy. See you guys.
All right, guys. That was the artist formerly known as Kip James, Badass Billy Gunn, Mr. Ass, Rockabilly, whatever you want to call him.
I mean, I thought we asked him everything we could. I mean,
yeah, that's awesome, man. Good interview.
He's such a cool guy, dude. I mean, hanging out with him in person and just listening to him tell stories is one of the funniest things ever. And then, because what's funny is, he, in person, will be talking and see something and comment on it, and it'll be something so funny it'll make you piss your pants.
I mean,
he's one of the most funny people I've ever met in my life. Like, he's up there with Kevin Nash on observational humor. Oh, my God. Just the shit that comes out of his mouth. So now the goal is, we couldn't do it on the same show like we did before, but now our goal is to get the Road Dog, Jesse James, so we can finally say we had, in my opinion, two of the top two tag teams from my era on the show, as we've already had the Outsiders, now we'll go for the New Age Outlaws.
I like it. Let's book it.
So, and I like how he said that. He doesn't do many radio interviews, which is good, you know, so I enjoy it when people, I like it when people come on the show and they don't know what to expect. They're thinking, maybe I'll be on there for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and it turns into an hour or 2 hours. You know what I mean? And that was a good. How long was that?
Let me see. We've been broadcasting now for almost an hour and a half. So okay. I would say we probably had him on for about an hour 15.
Yeah. And he would have stayed on the show longer if we let him.
Oh, absolutely would have. And I would have loved to have had him on longer. But, you know, again, it just shows that we are a different type of show. You know, I'm not knocking anybody. I'm not, you know, saying anything bad about other interviews, but nobody does an interview like Wrestling News Live, or for that matter, any show on this network.
Trying to, I got an announcement to make.
Well, why don't we hold off and do that after the break? Let's go ahead and take our commercial break, come back, do the news of the week. Obviously, you can open up with the major announcement that you have or whatever, but why don't we go ahead and take our first commercial break of the evening, come back with more Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. We'll be right back, guys, right after this.
Hey, guys, this is Concept, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network.
WrestlingOnline.com, the official news source of Wrestling News Live. You're looking for the latest news in the world of MMA and professional wrestling. Log on to www.wrestling-online.com and sign up for the largest and longest running newsletter on the internet today, with over 26,000 subscribers and over 3,000 issues. And the best part, just like WNL, it's free! Once again, that's www.wrestlingonline.com.
I hear voices in my head. They counsel me. They understand. They talk to me.
Since 1996, Audio Wrestling has been getting in the ring as your definitive source for all your wrestling desires.
Interviews with some of pro wrestling's biggest stars.
Providing you with a wide selection of award-winning wrestling shows from past and present, such as
Ministry of Slam,
Monday Night Mayhem,
In Your Head,
WrestleCast,
Sunday Night Showdown,
Wrestling News Live,
Between the Ropes,
RVD Radio,
WrestleCast,
and Wrestle Talk Radio,
and many others.
If you can't get enough Mad Mania, climb into the ring with
Audio Wrestling.
www.audiowrestling.com.
And check out all the real voices of wrestling radio.
Audio Wrestling.
Keeping you tuned in
since 1996.
Jeff Jarrett, the king of the mountain, and I'm on Planet Jarrett right now, listening to Wrestling News Live.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for wrestling radio tips on how to host your very own wrestling radio show. Wrestling Radio Tip 101, take listener phone calls. Here's how it works. You set up a phone line, and when a listener calls in, you answer just like this.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
What?
Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
What?
Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Okay.
I don't really follow Hulk Hogan because I just kind of find him up to be a washed-up douchebag.
Skeet, 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 skeet. Yeah!
It's been booming at the warehouse with Sin Cara just starting in WWE. The T-shirts and the masks. It's been up in the sky, you know, so your tennis shoes are in the side. I told Julio to hold up on them. All we have to wait for the shoelaces to come in the bottom sole.
What?
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 Ah, come on,
there.
You think that's the last thing you
want?
Okay.
Well, what you gonna do, brother? Well, I just take off my shirt.
Yeah.
Say my prayers. Eat my vitamins.
Yeah.
Say no to the holy God. And I'm gonna go after you, brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
What you gonna do when the 2-inch pythons run wild on you?
Bye, little.
What's up, gang? It's the Trey Dog from Wrestling News Live. Just want to make sure you've tuned in to JJ Sexay and Unplugged. Here's what you're missing.
Hulk Hogan was basically paid to advertise Def Jam Rap Star. He was recorded playing or singing with his daughter Brooke and Jimmy Hart when he decided to, let's just say, show the family jewels on camera.
He decided to flash his junk, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't know what's more disturbing, the fact that in 2010, Hulk Hogan is trying to rap like the Notorious Big, and he's got Jimmy Hart and his daughter in the room present, and he decides to flash his junk at the cameraman. Thank God it was censored. Wanting to show his little Hulkster to the world.
At least when I sang, I kept my pants on Hulk.
Well, let's put it this way. I'm sure that, you know, had they not censored it out, we'd know why Linda Hogan was sleeping with a 19-year-old. I'm pretty sure that the 4-inch python didn't get the job done there. I'm just saying. Everything shrinks with age, and it gets a little more wrinklier. But did I really need to see Hulk Hogan's junk while he's rapping? Come on, man. I don't know what disturbs me more, the fact that he actually tried to show his junk, or the fact that his daughter was right there when he did it. Dude, the 4-inch python. What you gonna do, sister, when the 4-inch python runs wild on you? I mean, you know what scares me more, Crelly? There's going to be this fucking wrestling nursing home, and it's going to have the likes of Hulk Hogan and the Nature Boy Ric Flair and the fucking Warrior running around. Flair's going to be running around the halls naked with his fucking robe, you know, going, woo, woo, woo. And the Hulkster's, what you going to do, brother, with the 4-inch python? Woo! And Flair's still going to be wooing around there. Then the Warrior's going to run around. Oh, oh, Hogan, the 4-inch python is no match for the little Warriors. I mean, dude, is this what we're looking forward to in 10 years? How would you like to be the fucking attendant that works that place, man? Holy God! What has the world come to? 2012, and it's all going to end, people!
Big Daddy Cool Diesel, you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network.
All right, guys, we're back right here, Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. Of course, I am Mr. Money on the mic, JJ All Caps Sexay, and I'm joined by the founder and host of Wrestling News Live. After 15 years, he's still marking people off the bucket list. Ladies and gentlemen, the Trey Dog is on the line.
And I got an announcement to make. As Wrestling News Live continues to branch out and continues to provide you with more ways to listen, to be more accessible, to reach a broader audience, we are now streaming live in living color on Justin.TV. I just put the address in the chat room. For those of you who listen to the archive and you want to check it out, it's www.justin.tv/SNS Radio Network. And you can thank Concept for hosting that party. He is streaming the show on Ustream or on Justin TV. Brass Eye has us going on Ustream. AudioWrestling.com has a stream for you to check out. Plus, we're live on WrestlingNewsLive.tk as well as SundayNightShowdown.com and Wrestling-Online.com.
Well, exactly, and we still have the mobile app. If you might be listening to us on your iPad, your iPod, your iPhone. So there's so many different ways to listen to, well, as many are calling it, the best wrestling radio show in the land.
Yeah, I was I always think we're the best, but to hear Billy Gunn tell us we're the best was a nice compliment.
Well, all those awards, you know, obviously mean something in this business, eh?
Hey, I'll take it. When a wrestler calls in and says, hey, I want to be on the number one wrestling radio show, I'm not going to argue with him.
No doubt. No doubt.
Also, you can listen to the show on your mobile phone through the Justin TV mobile phone app as well.
So, if you're not listening, you're not trying. Still an old Eddie Guerrero phrase. If you're not cheating, you're not trying. Well, if you're not listening, you're not trying. On that note, I guess before we jump into Raw, we should probably talk a little bit about news of the week.
News of the week.
So let's go ahead and cue that beautiful News of the Week sounder.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
May I have your attention, please?
And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
And now the news.
Well, I tell you what, we're going to start things off talking a little bit about some WWE financial news. It's always a hot topic in the world of professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Apparently, they... The WWE has announced their quarter one 2011 financial report. The results for the first quarter ended March 31st, 2011. Revenues totaled $119.9 million as compared to $138.7 million in the prior year quarter. Operating income was at $13.2 million as compared to $37.3 million in the prior year. Net income was $8.6 million or 11 cents per share as compared to 24.7 million or 33 cents per share in the prior year quarter. Since last year's WrestleMania was included, the first quarter reports and this year's WrestleMania will be in the second quarter. It created a difference in comparing the two quarters against each other. It was noted that WWE spent $1.4 million in marketing for WrestleMania 27, which was included in this quarter. Interesting. On a side note with that, six of nine departments have taken a hit in the earnings. WWE took a hit in six of them in the first quarter. Live event revenues were $19.6 million as compared to $26
million. Wow.
Pay-per-view revenues were $13.5 million as compared to $32.4
million. Holy shit. Thank you, internet streaming.
Merchandise revenues were $4.5 million compared to $6.5 million. Classics On Demand revenue, $1.1 million as compared to $1.3 million. Magazine publishing net revenues were $2.2 million as compared to $2.8 million. And WWE.com revenues were $2.7 million as compared to $3.4
million. Now, again, read that pay-per-view number again.
Pay-per-views were $13.5 million, and the previous year they were $32.4
million. Wow. That is a substantial hit.
Big time.
I mean, that is huge. And that's because of the internet. And that's because of internet streaming. And if it's done that much to the WWE, consider what it's done to TNA, because TNA is not nearly as big on killing their internet stream as the WWE is. If you get more than two matches on a WWE stream, you've done well.
Well, you know what? I think internet streaming might have something to do with it, but I think more to the point, I think it's fans are just tuning out. The product is not interesting a lot of people. I think that they're killing their audience.
Maybe there's a number for both, but I'm telling you right now that a bulk of that number is because of internet streaming. I'll guarantee it. And I'll guarantee if you had the same access to the UFC, their numbers would be down as well. And people aren't tuning out of their product.
That's
they're just
true.
Getting it for free.
Now, here's a positive note, however. Television rights fees revenues were at $31.6 million as compared to $29.4 million. So they've made a profit there. Home video net revenues were set at $8.1 million as compared to $7.6 million. And WWE shop revenues were $3.4 million compared to just a measly $3.0 million.
And Ramsey in the chat room brings up a good point. It's also because WrestleMania was part of last year's Q1, and this year it's Q2.
Yeah.
So the WrestleMania numbers aren't factored in there this year as they were last year. That's like saying this year, you know, we factored in all the regular season games, but last year we factored in the regular season and the Super Bowl.
On a not-so-positive note, Shane Helms and his girlfriend were injured in a motorcycle accident over the weekend. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I saw a picture of that. He looks bad.
Let me see. Shane Helms was involved in a serious motorcycle accident along with his girlfriend, Karen Motley. Helms reportedly suffered a broken leg, and both are now recovering in the hospital. Matt Hardy, a close personal friend of both, said on his Twitter that while they were both seriously injured, they are both warriors and should be okay. Shane and Karen, I love you guys. Hang in there. Stay strong, wrote Hardy. Both Helms and his girlfriend are very active on Twitter. I did read a report as of today that it looks like Shane could be charged with DUI. He was possibly drinking before the accident, so who knows what's going to go on here. The last I had heard, he broke his leg. He broke his ankle. His girlfriend had a broken neck. So there for a while, they weren't sure how she was going to pull through, but she's fine. So looks like a long recovery for both of these guys.
Yeah, I saw a picture of them in the hospital together on his Twitter page, and whoa.
It's pretty rough.
He looked bad.
So it's safe to say that you know what? You go back and you look at the history of people with broken ankles, and I covered this a little bit on Unplugged this last week. Usually someone who breaks their ankle and then tries to go back to wrestling, it's never the same as it was. Brian Pillman is a prime example. He had that Hummer accident back in 95, left WCW, and signed with the WWF. His career was never the same because he had, you know, nagging ankle injuries. My wife quit wrestling because she broke her ankle and never, you know, fully recovered from that. So, I don't know. I mean, I have to question his in-ring career at this point.
Well, it's going to be one of those we're going to wait and see.
I mean, I wish him well, and I hope he pulls through it, because nobody needs to have their livelihood taken from them.
No, and, you know, in a time when we're watching a guy like Edge retire so early, or what seems to be so early, I mean, the guy had a long career, but it doesn't seem like it's been that long. But the guy actually did have a pretty long career. It's just he's so young still that it sucks to see him go. But, you know, an ankle injury is kind of like, you know, it's something my dad always said about basketball was, you know, when big guys, you know, like your centers and your power forwards start having ankle problems, they start falling off the table because, you know, everything's on your feet. You know, and if you can't move your feet, you can't move. So that's the bitch of it.
We mentioned last week that Fast Five had a phenomenal weekend at theaters.
Yes.
Obviously, the movie starring Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Well, it turns out that after this weekend, Fast Five has been knocked out of the top spot. The movie Thor has knocked off Dwayne The Rock Johnson and his co-stars in Fast Five from number one. After 1 week, the newly released movie took in $66 million for the weekend. Fast Five got an additional $32,519,000 over the past couple of days, sending its total to $139,853,000 in box office receipts in the United States. Despite a strong opening from Thor, Fast Five remains one of the best openings in April ever. So Thor took that hammer and knocked The Rock right out of the top spot.
Mjolnir.
See, I never can pronounce the damn hammer.
Mjolnir. Mjolnir.
Say that five times fast.
Speaking of, did you see Chris Jericho as Thor on G4?
I did. It was only second to none to Ashley when he called in on Unplugged this past week as Thor.
Oh, I missed that part.
Oh, God, it was hilarious. I definitely recommend you listen to the archive because Ashley as Thor is pretty epic. But, you know, Chris Jericho as Thor was pretty kick-ass, I have to admit.
I heard the whole show was pretty impactful.
It was. Just ask Krelly. He's still suffering the impact. Now, speaking of impact, this is a good segue. See what I did there? Apparently, TNA, or at least the Impact TV show, is undergoing a name change. TNA's Impact show will now be undergoing the name Impact Wrestling from the next broadcast, which I guess will be this week. There was some confusion as to whether the name change reflected only the particular show or the company in general, as there were rumors that TNA letters were going to be dropped. Earlier this week, Hogan tweeted, "It is now Impact Wrestling and no TNA." But when fans asked Jeff Jarrett about the name change, Jarrett said it's the TV show is changing its name from Impact to Impact Wrestling. The company also took over the domain name ImpactWrestling.com and is now registered to TNA Entertainment. So there's still a little confusion as to what's going on. Hogan says one thing, Jarrett says another. Who knows? Kind of makes you wonder. You know, a lot of people were when we watched Raw last week, a lot of people were questioning what was the reasoning behind John Morrison getting jumped by R-Truth. Well, we found out what happened was after the pay-per-view, apparently
what happened was
John Morrison was suffering a nagging neck injury. I think he had a pinched nerve in his neck. He actually underwent surgery today, and it looks like he's going to be out of action for about 4 to 6 weeks.
Let's hope they repackage that whole fucking guy.
You know what? I think that that is the plan. Repackage him, put him back in the mix, give him a push. Usually when a guy, you know, messes up his neck, he comes back stronger than ever. He gets a big push. So, again, I'm still high on John Morrison. But as of late, there you go. As of late, I mean, unfortunately, he still suffers from the same thing Billy Gunn does. He's a talented guy, but he just never seems to get the push that the office should be giving him. So
I think the problem, I think, and I wanted to bring this up, but I didn't get around to it. I think the problem with Billy is he was just so fucking good as a tag team wrestler, he got stereotyped like an actor in a movie.
Well, I mean, not only is he good as a tag team wrestler, but I thought he was great as a singles talent. I mean,
I thought the one Billy Gunn, I liked that, but it just didn't take off like it should.
You know, and they put him with you know, Stone Cold a couple times, you know, where he helped him out. You know, they put him with The Rock. I mean, there were times I thought he was going to break three and kind of do something, but, you know.
Again, it's up to company and creative, not the wrestler.
Now, I know you caught this story. We all know that Extreme Rules happened last Sunday.
Right.
And we saw Christian Cage, well, formerly Christian Cage, Christian, win the World Heavyweight Championship in the ladder match. And then last week on Tuesday at the SmackDown tapings, the title was taken off Christian and put on Randy Orton. And the internet melted. The internet exploded with rage. The IWC lost its collective fucking minds. This was a huge story.
Still not sure why they went so apeshit nuts, but okay.
Well, I mean, I do, and I look, there's two ways to look at this. In professional wrestling, if you're given the belt, consider yourself lucky. A lot of times you have to have a certain look. You have to have a certain thing that they want to market. And
I will admit that they should have given him at least a couple weeks or at least the next pay-per-view.
Yes and no. I think the problem here is that they had the draft before Extreme Rules. That screwed everything up. If it hadn't been for that, I honestly believe that Alberto Del Rio would have walked out of Extreme Rules the World Heavyweight Champion. He would have taken that belt to Raw, and they would have found some way to bring the SmackDown or the WWE Championship to the SmackDown brand. So I think it was really a case of Edge retiring as quickly as he did, having the draft before the pay-per-view, and finding last-minute ways to keep things going. I mean, obviously, it was put on Christian so they could keep the belt on the SmackDown brand. And to a degree, it was, you know, probably done as kudos to Edge, putting Christian over. Vince McMahon has never been high on Christian. He's never thought he was a draw. You know, I can still remember back in 2004, 2005, Vince McMahon standing in the middle of Madison Square Garden with Christian and the crowd going ape shit nuts. He was over like Rover. They were chanting his name. You'd think he was The Rock. Vince McMahon looking at Christian and think, wow, I can't believe this guy's this over. And then a couple months later, he's on SmackDown, and then ultimately, he's gone from the company. I mean, as much as I like Christian, and I think he's a fantastic hand in the ring, I told you guys that I didn't think it would be a good idea to put the belt on him. Because I didn't think he was ready for that. Because I knew they were not going to put the marketing behind him.
But yet, we still don't know if he's ready or not. We didn't get a chance to find out.
Well, in the eyes of Vince McMahon, he's not. And when you look at the SmackDown brand, you've got Randy Orton, who's the top face. He is the top guy on the SmackDown brand. So they want to build the SmackDown brand around Randy Orton, much like they do with John Cena on the Raw brand.
Exactly.
And when you look at the main event talent and you look at the guys that are on the roster at SmackDown, there really are no credible heels to go head-to-head with Randy Orton. Perhaps this was a way to do that, because I've always preferred Christian as the smarmy little heel. You know, I loved him in TNA as the heel.
Creepy little bastard.
Yeah. I loved him on Raw, you know, back in 2003, 2004 as the creepy little bastard. That was a great heel. So maybe this is an attempt to start a program with Christian and to make him one of the top heels on that brand. Again, I know Chris Jericho tweeted and said it was probably part of a bigger storyline. But again, a lot of people are upset over this. You know, I personally, I can understand where they're coming from. I see both sides of the fence. From a markability standpoint, you want your top guy on SmackDown to have the championship, and that's Randy Orton.
Well, like CJ says in the chat room, you know, maybe we'll get a heel Christian now, and he'll recapture the title.
Exactly. But either way, despite the fact that he lost it 2 days into his run, just having that belt is an honor in itself, and I'm sure it was a proud moment for Christian. And I'm sure that, you know, deep down, he's probably not happy the way things went, but you know, we're not booking the company. At the end of the day, it is what it is. And there's a lot of people that are just turned off by the company from this. I mean, and that's your prerogative. But I'm just trying to explain possibly the motives for taking the belt off Christian. He wasn't really intended to get the belt to begin with.
Time shall tell.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, we will see what happens. But I think that Christian and Orton could probably have a really good feud. And if you go back and you watch the end of SmackDown and you look at the reaction on Christian's face, the disappointment, I mean, I really think that's part of the storyline. I think that's where they're going with this.
And in the vein of what Billy said, I've already got your money. Well, Christian will always be a former world champ.
On a side note, apparently WWE is just can't believe the reaction that they've gotten. You know, Randy Orton was getting, like, death threats and, you know, all kinds
of
crazy shit.
Well, that should tell him that Christian is over.
Well, exactly. But at the same time, I mean, anybody that's mad at a guy like Randy Orton for taking the title off Christian.
Well, that's just stupid people that don't know the business.
Exactly. I mean,
hey, goddamn Randy Orton, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to kill that bastard. I'll ever see him out.
Yeah, kill him for doing his job. That's what he does. You know, Vince says, go out there, Randy, and now get the belt. You're going to run with a championship. Okay, boss, I'll go do it.
Like the old boy that was the fucking, what's his name, that was the fucking towel head. He was so good at his job, he got fired.
Muhammad Hassan.
Yeah.
So glad that you brought that up. Hassan, who...
He's the one guy in history that was so fucking good at his job that he got fired because of it.
Well, yeah, you're right. I mean, the problem was that rather than do a little bit of editing on that SmackDown broadcast the day they had the bombings in London, when the masked terrorist attacked The Undertaker on behalf of Muhammad Hassan, rather than edit that, they didn't. And because of that, the network wanted him gone. And it sucked. I mean, had they left him on Raw, it wouldn't have been an issue. But they moved him to SmackDown, put him in a program with The Undertaker, and then had Undertaker kill him.
Kill him, he did.
I still, to this day, think Muhammad Hassan was one of those guys that right now would have been a multiple-time world champion if he was still with the brand.
Do you think that by now his like skull and bones are still underneath the stage of the SmackDown brand?
Possibly. Last I heard, he was doing screenplays with Shad. So.
Oh, okay.
In fact, I don't know if you heard the story of that, but Shad came on Unplugged last year and told us that, or maybe it was earlier this year, told us that he did a screenplay with Mark Capone, the former Muhammad Hassan, and Vince McMahon liked the screenplay and wanted to do business with Shad on it, but wanted to undercut Mark Capone. And since that was Shad's friend, he said, no, that's okay.
Announcement just coming in from the desk of one Chris Kelly, who I'm not sure what title to give him. I mean, JJ's the producer of the show. I guess Kelly would be talent relations. He's informing me that within 3 weeks we will have the Road Dog Jesse James on Wrestling News Live.
Well, I'll be damned! I can't wait.
So there you go.
I'll have to put together my my best intro for the Road Dog.
Oh, you didn't know?
That'll be pretty cool. I'm looking forward to that. I like Jesse James.
Last time I interviewed him was when he was in TNA. And he was sitting out in a lawn chair in his backyard in Florida with his dogs. And just the nicest, coolest guy you could ever talk to.
Now, here's something that I don't know how you'll take this. I find it interesting myself. I mean, it's, you know,
Lay it on me.
It's more to deal with people's personal lives, but, you know, just when you thought things couldn't get any worse for Hulk Hogan.
Oh, God.
Apparently, Hulk's son, Nick Bollea, is engaged. He's engaged. He's not in any kind of trouble, but following some rocky years, including a stint in jail, Nick Bollea.
That's the guy whose wife is in the same room.
There you go. Nick Bollea, the son of TNA's Hulk Hogan, is getting engaged, according to different celebrity websites. The lucky one, or unlucky one, depending on your view, is Brianna Tisi, a 20-year-old model and dancer from Los Angeles. The guy might be annoying and all that, but you got to give him credit. He did manage to bag a pretty hot chick. Those two have been together for the past 3 years, and he will be proposing in the coming days.
Nick, from the Trey Dog to you, Mark Tape here, wear that pussy out, because all she wants is your money.
Well, and that brings up my next point.
And she's going to find a way to get it. So before she finds a way to get that money, turn that shit inside out.
See, and that's exactly the point that I was just about to make. Unfortunately for Hulk Hogan, he's got another mouth to feed.
Uh-oh.
Because, well, how does Nick get paid? What does Nick do? I don't know that he does anything other than cause trouble and spend money. Whose money does he spend? Well, last I checked, it was Hogan's. So it looks like Hulk Hogan will be financing everything for Nick.
That's right, Ashley. Exactly. Get it while you can, because before too long, she'll be fucking somebody else.
That's right. So I guess congratulations might be in order for Nick Bollea. Maybe not so much for the Hulkster.
Wow. What do you do? Oh, I wreck sports cars.
I kill my best friends. And make
I
brain
kill
dead.
My best friend, and well, I don't really do much but sit at home and spend my dad's money. My dad was Hulk Hogan. And she's taking off her panties.
Actually, the proper response would have been Hulk Hogan. Didn't he used to wrestle? What's he do these days? Anyway, on a somber note, apparently Dana Hall is, she told Mike Mooningham of the Post and Courier that her attempt to try to get help for Scott have been turned down by the former Intercontinental Champion himself, causing chaos when EMTs showed up after she made a call to him. Hall apologized for his behavior, but eventually hung up on her and didn't answer her repeated calls afterward. Dana said she called 911 and had EMTs meet her at his door, and when they arrived, they were already trying to get in through the bedroom window. Eventually, Hall found out and started pushing them out. It was nothing short of a scene from One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest meets The Shining. This is no exaggeration. I wish it was. She said Hall didn't appreciate seeing his ex-wife at the door and told the EMTs to get her off his property using not-so-nice language. He was threatening to beat them all up, doing the crotch chop thing to them, making a fool of himself, ranting and raving like a crazed mental person, she added. I have my hands out of him. He was crying, and he could have cared less. He just went on with his ranting. At one point, held up his hand to strike me, and they moved me away. There were like 8 paramedics and 6 officers. I told him goodbye. This would be the last time I would come to see him.
Now, as I hold up my hand, not to strike her, but to get everybody's attention, this is one side of the story.
Exactly. I'm just reporting what I'm hearing.
I would have a hard time if my ex-girlfriend showed up trying to break in my window, too.
Well,
crazy
but at the same time, though, we're talking about a woman who has children with Scott Hall. Children that haven't seen their father in a while. And from a standpoint, I understand here. Again, I wasn't there. I'm reading a report from Dana Hall. I don't have Scott's side of the story. But he's welcome to give us that account anytime. He's always got, you know, safe haven on this show.
Yeah, I just, you know, who was it that I heard was trying to reach out to Scott from the wrestling home?
Well, I know Kevin Nash was quoted, and I don't have the quote in front of me, but he was quoted as saying that until Scott wants to help himself, there's nothing anybody else can do.
Somebody else in the wrestling business was quoted this week as saying they were going to try to reach out to Scott Hall. I can't think of who it was off the top of my head.
But if it does happen, it would be a good thing.
I think so. I really do. But I think Nash said it best himself that Scott knows what to tell people at the rehabs. He's been there. He knows what they want to hear. And he never sticks with it. So, you know, again, I personally have no ill will towards Scott Hall, and I want him to get better. I would hate to, you know, turn on my computer tomorrow morning and see that Scott Hall had passed away or something bad had happened to him.
I hope to have Scott Hall on the show next year.
Me too. So I just hope that there's somebody out there that can get him help. I hope that he decides he wants the help. On that note, I want to move on a little bit. WWE has announced a new movie.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. Apparently, it's called No One Lives, written by David Cohen and directed by Rihari Katamori. I probably pronounced that name wrong.
Why would you want to go see a movie called No One Lives if you know the end already?
Pretty much.
Nobody lives.
Principal photography will start in New Orleans on June 13th. And Welsh actor Luke Evans in the leading role. The movie is about a ruthless criminal gang that takes a young couple hostage and goes to ground in an abandoned house in the middle of nowhere. When the captive girl is killed, the tables are unexpectedly turned. The gang finds itself outsmarted by an urban and seasoned killer determined to ensure that no one lives. WWE Studios maintains a flexible business model that allows us to seek our partners and co-finance, produce, and distribute films of all genres to appeal to our fans' wide array of film tastes, said Michael Luisi, EVP Business Development. WWE teaming up with Paith is the perfect example. We look forward to co-producing No One Lives with one of the leaders in the industry. The movie will be distributed by Paith Distribution in France and 20th Century Fox in the UK. So it's supposed to be a horror movie, from what I understand.
A horror movie?
Yes.
With whores?
With whores.
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 Nobody lives. All the whores die.
That's right. But I think that's pretty much it for the news of the week, man.
Nobody lives.
Nobody lives. And, hey, apparently no wrestlers are in the movie, so it might actually turn out to be okay.
Hey, no wrestlers died this week.
There's a nice disclaimer. Unfortunately, no wrestlers were hurt during the filming of this movie.
Wow.
So that's always a plus, right?
Mac Daddy says, I saw Knucklehead last night. It wasn't nearly as bad as some were saying. No, none of their movies have been as bad as the internet says. But the internet wants to hate no matter what. The internet wants to hate first, promote second.
Look, I didn't think the movie was that bad. I just didn't, you know, like all the fart jokes every 5 minutes.
It was for kids. It was a kid movie. It wasn't made for adults.
Yeah, but even still.
You know, I haven't seen the Triple H movie yet.
I actually saw it. It wasn't that bad. I liked it better than Knucklehead, to be honest.
Well, there you go.
I thought Triple H did a pretty decent job, although I prefer him in roles where he's kicking the shit out of people or, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean, Triple H is a certified badass, so he shouldn't be playing comedic roles. It's really not his genre.
Not really. I would have to agree with that.
I think Edge is the guy they should really cash in on. I think Edge could be a good actor.
Oh, now he was supposed to be on a TV show, so maybe that's something that, you know.
Well,
he did do
Highlander back in the day.
Yeah, but he only had a bit part. I mean, he was only on the screen for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, and the thing is, I think, you know, Edge said it in his farewell speech. He said, you know, yes, I'm retiring from wrestling. No, you haven't seen the last of me. I think, you know, there's a good chance that, you know, he would be good. Not necessarily a wrestling film, but a film period. I think he would be a good actor. He's got the look, you know. He's got the chops, you know. And that's another thing. Kevin Nash, we're talking about in the chat room. Nash is a hell of an actor. I mean, he's been good in everything he's been in.
I didn't get a chance to watch The Hammer of Thor, which is apparently the movie he was just in.
Mjolnir.
He literally plays Odin, Thor's father. He was tweeting about that last week. I think the Sci-Fi Channel had it on, but I don't get sci-fi here. I get space. So I haven't seen the previews for it. I'm going to catch it when I see it, but yeah, Kevin Nash plays Odin, the father of Thor, and I think the Hammer of Thor or something, or Thor, God of Thunder. So I can't remember the name of the movie, but
Mjolnir.
It's Thor something.
Mjolnir. Mjolnir, 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 Mjolnir.
Yes, the movie's called Mjolnir. So with that said, this brings us to the time we talk about Monday Night Raw.
Oh, the hammer's called Mjolnir.
Yeah, Odin is the name of Thor's father.
Right.
Who was played by Anthony Hopkins in the Thor movie.
Who's on first? Now, wait a minute. Time out. Are we talking two separate Thor movies here?
There are two separate Thor movies. One that is a major release that Marvel Studios has put out, starring what Chris Hemsworth as Thor and Anthony Hopkins as Odin.
Okay, so Kevin Nash is in a B flick.
He is in a B flick called Thor something or another, and he plays the God of Thunder's father, Odin.
Well, I got to be honest with you, without seeing either one of them, and Anthony Hopkins is a hell of an actor, but to me, Kevin Nash with a white beard and white hair looks more like Odin than Anthony Hopkins.
I have to go the other way. I think Anthony Hopkins looks more like Odin. He might not be as muscular as a Kevin Nash for that Odin role, but I think that...
You think Anthony Hopkins would look better with white hair and a white beard than Kevin Nash does?
Well, we're comparing a fucking major movie release to a B-movie, Trey. It's not really
it doesn't matter. I'm just saying, in the role of Odin, I would take Kevin Nash over Anthony Hopkins.
Acting chops-wise, I'd take Anthony Hopkins.
That's yeah, but we're me. Not doing Shakespeare here.
It's pretty close. It's Thor. Does thou
look at what Chris Jericho did on G4.
Does thou knoweth thine history?
Speaking of Thor, call in, Thor. If you're listening, Thor, call in, and we'll find out what Thor thinks.
Yes, I want to hear from Thor right now.
If Thor is listening, Thor should calleth in to the showeth.
Come on, Thor.
Tell us who's the better role of his father, Anthony Hopkins or Sir Kevin Nash.
Bring thine hammer to the show and Mjolnir, let us know.
Bring Mjolnir. Bringeth Mjolnir to the show, Thor. Right noweth, as Rodriguez says.
Right noweth. I like it.
Because you know that Mjolnir is like the source of all of Thor's power. I mean, that's what makes him fly. You know, he whoever holdeth the hammer of Thor, whatever it says.
Right. Well, I tell you what, let's go to the phone lines. Obviously sponsored by HeadlocksToHeadlines.com. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Ask and you shall receive. The mighty Thor is on the line.
Hey, Thor, what's happening, buddy?
Everything's going pretty good, Trey.
Have you been out, fighting crime and, taking in all the publicity from your two major movies that are out right now?
Not to use a pun here, but like Crelly last Friday, I was getting hammered.
Well, Thor, now here's the big question. Trey and I were just having a friendly debate on the show, as we often do, and the question in my mind for you, sir, is, there are two movies basically based on your life right now, which is a good thing because you like to talk about yourself. But there are two movies, and I got to ask, in your opinion, who does a better job as your father, Odin? Would you pick Kevin Nash or would you pick Sir Anthony Hopkins?
For acting ability, I'd say Hopkins, but on the sheer bravado, Nash is very strong as well. They're both good films, because I'm in them.
Well, of course. Now, the other question I have is, did you see from our realm, from our world, wrestler slash actor slash musician Chris Jericho portraying you, Thor, on G4 television this week?
Yes, I was... I was mildly amused but appalled that I'd be considered going to grad school and becoming a journalist. What is up with that?
I don't know, but he made you seem very whiny.
I prefer mead rather than wine, but you know.
No, I mean like more crybabyish.
Well, perhaps that was me during my adolescent days.
So he didn't give us a time frame.
Yes.
Okay, I see. So other than crashing the red carpet and not giving us nearly the definitive answer we wanted on our Kevin Nash, Anthony Hopkins question, what have you been up to lately?
Not much. I'd just like to correct you. It's Mjolnir.
Mjolnir?
Mjolnir. That is how it's pronounced, yes.
As in Me Old, but without the D? Me Old Ear?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I was pretty close. Mule Deer, same thing.
Yes, whatever. The big fucking hammer, that's what I
tomato,
like to call
tomato, tomato, tomato. Hey, are the Avengers getting together for a movie, or what's the ticket on that?
I believe so. I believe it's Iron Man, the Hulk, somebody. We wanted Spider-Man in, but he wanted to make too many webs, so we had to kill him out. But, you know. There was somebody else.
Well, you mean you got Captain America?
That's the one. I don't remember him because I haven't seen his movie yet because it's still got to come out.
You're not high on Americans, are you?
Oh, me being of the Norse kind, it's, you know, I'm supposed to be Norse, but I speak with a British accent. What the hell is going on there?
Talent fees. Basically, I'm just saying you're the best Thor we can get on short notice.
Very probably, yes.
So, Thor, are you a big wrestling fan?
I was kind of appalled by R-Truth with his invisible friend, you know. Me being a god of the world, I saw the invisible friend, and who knew midgets could do things like that?
Well, I mean, anybody who's into midget porn can tell you that they can do that. But, who is your favorite professional wrestler, being, you know, a god yourself?
The person who looks more like a god, or the most like a god, which at the minute is the man they call Mason Ryan, I think.
You think Mason Ryan looks like a god?
He's certainly got the physique, even though, admittedly, he does look a lot like Batista.
Which is funny, because I think he's like a goddamn idiot, but that's neither here nor there. So Mason Ryan is your favorite professional wrestler?
Yes, it was Chris Masters, but when he did the stupid muscle plex thing with his chest, that, you know, get out of my house.
Oh, hey, Thor, yeah. Thor, real quick, Trey, hang on a second. I'm actually, right now in the background, have my my studio TV on, and I'm actually looking at your latest endeavor in video gaming, the new Thor game that's coming out on multiple platforms.
God of Thunder, only on your latest console now.
So the question is, can you play Thor, God of Thunder, on the PS3 online?
I believe it is not an online game, from what I have been told from my press aficionados. But yes, I it's not online. It's just a single-player campaign. But I know with some PS3 games, they require you to actually be online in order to play them, even though they're not online.
Well,
which is a bit fucked up.
I was just going to say that if it's not a game that you can go play online, then the PSN users have something to finally play.
No! Yes.
Bitch slap there, I believe, JJ.
And I thank you. I'll be here all week. Tip your waitresses. Try the veal.
You can please return your waitress to her full upright position.
Like
I have a request for the mighty God of Thunder. Thor, could you please, like all the other guests on this show, cut us a liner to use for future shows?
It would be an honor.
You know, just come on and say, this is Thor, the God of Thunder, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. And then whatever else you want to add to that with your, you know, godly talk.
This is Thor, the mighty God of Thunder. And myself and the great hammer Mjolnir are listening to Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. And if you doubt that, then Thor is my name.
Well, there you go.
All right. On that note, I want to thank the mighty Thor for calling in. Big fan, Thor. Can't wait to see the Avengers. Going to go check out the flick this weekend. Any last things before we let you go, my friend?
I believe one of my friends said this from another movie, live long and prosper.
Very good, very good. Get a haircut, and if you run into Spider-Man, tell him I love his work.
I believe my next role, I'm playing the Huntsman in some Snow White remake. I don't know.
Okay, all right.
Apparently.
Oh, if you run into any of those DC pussies, tell them we said hey.
Oh, don't worry. I've already got a DC account. I'm getting my free Batman mask in the post, hopefully.
Awesome.
Okay, all right. Well, that's good. All right. And Thor, congratulations on the movie success. And
thank you.
We'll be in touch.
Yes. Very well, children of Earth.
All right, Thor, thanks for the call. So, ladies and gentlemen, that was the God of Thunder, Thor, calling in, letting us know what's going on. And I should have asked him this while he was still on the line, but it must have felt good to finally bitch slap The Rock off the top of the moviegoers list this weekend.
Right, and I also want to know, what's up with this Batman mask everybody's talking about?
Well, apparently that's one of the benefits of the PSN network. When it comes back up, you're going to get a free Batman avatar mask for your DC Online game to play. So there you go. Just when you thought you weren't getting anything for a service that's absolutely free and down for 40 days, you get a Batman mask.
I think that's crock horseshit.
You get what you pay for.
I think that everybody should get a lock of Bin Laden's hair. Something. I myself am interested in this. What's the game called? The DC.
DC Universe Online.
Yeah, I'm still wanting to play that online on my computer.
Well, you can probably play it online on your computer. You just can't on your PS3.
Right. Well, I don't own a PS3, so I'm good to go.
Well, see, you're ahead of the game.
I mean, I'm getting as much use online as they are right now, but still. I still want to play that game. I just haven't gotten around to it. It's on my to-do list.
True that. All right. Well, I tell you what. Let's transition, talk a little bit of Raw before we take our last commercial break and take some phone calls and emails and wrap this thing up. But it's time to hit that all-too-familiar Monday Night Raw sounder.
That's right. What's this?
Now it's time to review Monday Night Raw. Time to talk a little wrestling. Oh, wait. We're talking Monday Night Raw. I guess that means it's time to talk entertainment. Yeah.
It is time to talk some Monday Night
Entertainment. Are we still on that?
We are, dude. They're not wrestling anymore, dude. They're entertainment.
It's still just entertainment, huh?
It's entertainment. So that's our new permanent Raw sounder right there.
Damn.
No more Nickelback.
I was on the side with some Nickelback again, damn.
No more Nickelback. No more Nickel Crack, unless you're certain people. We're gonna play the Entertainment Tonight theme from now on, since it's entertainment.
Not to knock us off topic, but this will.
Of course.
I was on Xbox Live the other night, and one of my longtime World of Warcraft buddies has finally given up, not completely, but a lot, has given up on World of Warcraft, and now he's playing a lot of Xbox games on Xbox Live. Why do you think, in your knowledge of gaming, and if Sean wants to comment on this later, he can call in, why hasn't there been a World of Warcraft major MMO type title for the Xbox 360 yet, where people can get on their headsets and talk, party up, and play online in a universe like World of Warcraft?
Well, the thing about Xbox 360 is, to my knowledge, there are no MMOs that are on the console. And obviously with those, you're paying a subscription fee. So I don't think they can do them right on the consoles, and that's why they stick to PC gaming for that. So, I mean, that's my honest answer. I don't think that they know how to run a massive multiplayer online game on a console. I mean, PS3 is doing it with DC, but as you can see, they're already having issues with the PSN network. So,
my theory is, you're already paying $15 a month for World of Warcraft, you know, not to mention the fact that now you're paying for Xbox 360 Gold. you know, I just thought it'd be a brilliant way for them to attack the computer internet industry and say, hey, we've got a massive MMO on our console as well.
Apparently, Metallopunk says Final Fantasy Online. So I don't know.
Yeah, but that's gay.
Like I said, I didn't personally know of any MMOs because that's not what I play. So.
Just a thought. Back to Raw. Back to Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah, back to Entertainment. We start things off on Monday Night Raw with your favorite competitor on the Raw brand, Alberto Del Rio.
Alberto Del Rio.
Talks about how his destiny was derailed by Edge. And
that fucking Rodrigo earned his paycheck tonight, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Great dropkick. We'll get to that in a second. He talks about his push was derailed by Edge. He was, you know, destined to win the World Heavyweight Championship. And since that didn't happen for him, he now wants to face John Cena for the title. We then have Rey Mysterio come out and says, you know what? You're not worthy of it. I'm going to be the one to get the number one contendership, and I'm going to beat John Cena. Next up, we have The Miz and Alex Riley coming out. And, of course, we get the same old promo from The Miz. Really, 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 I'm the number one contender. I beat John Cena last week, and it was because of my incompetent lackey that I'm not the champion.
Now, if they're not careful, they keep doing too many of these three or four or five superstars in the ring cutting promo talking shit. If they're not careful, The Miz is going to become a babyface on accident, kind of like Randy Orton became a face on accident.
That might be the plan, man.
Because he wasn't completely booed tonight when he came to the ring and started talking.
No, people are getting behind The Miz. People like him. They like the work ethic. So we have Alberto, his ring announcer, Rodriguez. We have Alex Riley, The Miz, and Rey Mysterio all in the ring. When all of a sudden, the truth has come to set us free. As he talks about, do what?
With no music.
With no music. Obviously, they're still working on the new version of Shut Up for him.
Right.
So R-Truth comes out and starts talking about how bad hospital food is. The reason he brings it up is because he knows that John Morrison is eating a lot of it. And basically says that when an angry black man talks, you should listen.
Who the fuck is he, E.F. Hutton?
Says that he should be the number one contender. He was screwed out of his title match, thanks to John Morrison. And he was the only person standing in that ring that was going to get the title shot. Well, lo and behold, that old familiar Raw GM sounder goes off, and Michael Cole gets to read us an email, and I quote, that there will be a match, or there will be a triple threat match tonight to declare who will face John Cena at Over the Limit, and it will consist of Rey Mysterio, Alberto Del Rio, and The Miz. Once again, R-Truth getting the shaft from the man. It's all about the man.
I'm waiting for him to come out and ask for his reparations.
His reparations?
Mm-hmm.
So we get a brawl going on as R-Truth walks away. We get a brawl between Miz and Rey and Alberto Del Rio. Rodriguez actually hits a drop kick on I believe, Riley.
The best part before that was when The Miz said, because I'm The Miz, and I am awesome, and your next World Heavyweight Champion will be, and he goes, Alberto Del Rio.
That was pretty awesome. I got it. You know what? I like Rodriguez. He's a weird-looking dude.
Del Rio turned around to him like, yeah, all right.
He is a freaky-looking dude, man. He's just weird, man. His face.
You know what he looks like? He looks like a 12-year-old Mexican boy that's about 6'5", 280 pounds.
His face is just so weird-looking. I mean,
like, he could be in front of the TV eating Cheetos in a pair of underwear watching cartoons on Saturday morning.
I like his ring announcing ability. I think he's got a good voice. I was impressed with the drop kick, so we'll see where they go with this. But at some point, you got to think they're going to transition him into in-ring.
Well, I mean, Alberto has had, since his inception,
Brodus Clay. Or as we like to call him, King Hippo from
King Hippo is what I was trying to think of. Yeah, he's had King Hippo all the time. So now maybe he needs that secondary character, much like The Miz has Alex Riley.
Yep. But, I don't know, man. I mean, he's got an FCW developmental deal. He is someone who wrestles on the roster down there, so
right.
We'll see what happens with him, but I think he might be...
I'm told GLAAD's coming after us.
Oh, they're always coming after us, man. They're still pissed about the Gay Avenger stuff. I don't care.
Yeah, send the Gay Avenger my way.
In the immortal words of the Trey Dog, if you can take a dick, you can take a joke.
Let the Gay Avenger come on the show. Let him call in. If he can take a dick, he can take a joke.
That's right. So next up, we have our first match, the Bella Twins taking on Eve and Kelly Kelly. All I can really say here is the match happened.
There was a match.
Yes. Kelly rolls up Nikki for the win. So your winners here are Eve and Kelly Kelly.
The chat room I was in, the line of the night was, Kelly Kelly, titties so nice they named him twice.
There you go. After the match, things get a little exciting as Karma's music hits, and she slowly makes her way down to the ring. Kelly Kelly gets the fuck out of the ring. Smartest thing I've ever seen Kelly Kelly do.
The Bella Twins bail like they stole something.
Yes. So Kelly gets out. The Bella Twins are gone. Karma comes in, is attacked by Eve, and gets the big implant buster delivered by Karma. After a nice devastating clothesline, to which Eve actually bumped well. I read a report earlier this week, I guess it was right after Friday Night SmackDown, talking about how Alicia Fox was injured by Awesome Kong or Karma, and there was belief that Kong was a little too stiff. But if you go back and you watch that, the only person that really did anything wrong there was Alicia Fox, the way she sold the move. She's the one that landed on her shoulder.
I mean, she's about a buck five wet, and they're taking bumps from Awesome Kong. I mean, shit.
I mean, I hate to break it to you guys, but when you're taking a clothesline, guess what? You're the one taking the bump.
Yeah.
You know, you're the one that's going to dictate how you fall. Now, if you're in the air and something like that happens, okay, I could see that argument. But you literally are taking the bump. I've taken many a clothesline bump. I know how they work.
Rantables in the chat room says, what? Alicia Fox botched a move. That's crazy talk.
I know. It is crazy. My little girl, Lexi, was very upset about that, too. She loves Alicia Fox, and the reason we found out that she loves Alicia Fox is because she wears the skimpy little skirts. And yeah. Lexi literally has a little skirt from when she was, like, 3 years old that she likes to put on when Alicia Fox is wrestling. And she goes, look, I look like Alicia Fox, Daddy. So that's the only reason she likes Alicia Fox is because of the little skirt thing.
And I will say that Kelly Kelly looked really good today, by the way.
Oh, yeah, of course. But when does she not look good, right?
I'm telling you what, that bitch is hot. Former colleagues of mine have said that she's not good looking. You'd have to be gay to think she's not hot, I think.
So next up, we have Mason Ryan, who apparently is Thor's favorite wrestler.
Thor's favorite wrestler, yes.
Taking on Kane once again, and this match was horrible. No way to put it. Look, I think Mason Ryan's got a good look because he looks like Batista. And I think if they work with him, he's a powerhouse guy. He could probably put together some good stuff. But I don't know if it's Kane. I don't know if it's Mason. But there were so many blown spots in this match. The one in particular that stands out, Kane is on the outside of the ring on the apron. Mason Ryan goes to, I guess, do like a spear-type maneuver and basically go into the gut of Kane. And he literally stays in position as Kane is not there and literally waits about 10 seconds for Kane to come over and kick him in the head. And I thought, my God, this is fucking abysmal.
At first, I tried to chalk it up to two powerful guys trying to sell a powerful match, but they were just, wow.
It was bad. And this is the second or third time they've actually had a match one-on-one. Just fucking horrible.
And I'll give you, I'll put it to you like this. It's probably not because of Kane.
Well, Kane was very slow on his parts, too. I
find it hard to believe that all these years have gone by, we finally found out that Kane can't work.
Well, and I'm not saying it's all Kane, but I'm saying he's missing spots. You know, obviously, you know, Kane's been in the business for a long time. He's slowing down. I think he's getting ready to hang the boots up soon. But I think it's a combination of both of them. I just don't think they have very good chemistry. That's just me. But the end result in this match, we have CM Punk nailing Kane with a knee. Big Show comes out, tries to help, and Kane basically gets the win here by DQ. So there you go. Disqualification. We had to have at least one this Raw, right? So our next match of the night, we have Santino Marella taking on Bart
for the
Gunn.
Chat room, for the chat room's purposes, fuck Chris Sabin.
There you go. Santino Marella versus Dolph Ziggler, who we are now christening Bart Gunn.
Bart Gunn.
Wrestled
looks like Bart, works like Billy.
That's right. This is a pretty good match back and forth. See some pretty good spots. Santino goes for the Cobra at one point. Dolph drop kicks him, hits the zigzag, gets the 1-2-3. So your winner, the new and improved Bart Gunn.
I said it on, I believe, the Christmas Craptacular. He is my breakout superstar of the year. By Christmas of this year, we'll see, but.
Well, he's already, since then, dude, he's already been a world champion.
He's already been a world champion, so I don't know how it could get any better. Now he's been moved to Raw, so that's an upgrade.
Yeah, and they changed his look, which I don't understand the reason for that. Again, what was wrong with Dolph Ziggler?
I'll tell you why. Too many people said Billy Gunn, Mr. Perfect, you know, he wasn't standing out on his own. Now, this is a guy that I got to believe, for all intents and purposes, was created to fail. I mean, Dolph Ziggler is not a name you give to a guy you think is going to succeed
in
the business.
Do you remember his initial run as Dolph Ziggler every 5 seconds? I'm Dolph Ziggler. Of course, yeah. That was the point. And then they thought, oh, shit, this guy can actually work. This guy's really good.
He can work, and he's over with the crowd. Well, it's too late to do anything about it now. He's stuck. You know, so now you got to make Dolph Ziggler as marketable as you can. And you put him out there and you make him a world heavyweight champion. You've got him involved in main event storylines on SmackDown. And all you can hear is how he's compared to Mr. Perfect and Billy Gunn. Yeah, they're going to change his look.
Hell yeah, they are.
They have to.
So next up, we get a backstage segment with The Truth. Scott Stanford walks up and tries to get his thoughts on what's going on. R-Truth says the kids...
I lost my feet here, so I don't know what happened.
Okay. The kids basically need to take R-Truth seriously. He says he will take care of Miz, Alberto, and Ray on his own terms. And tells Scott, say what's up to little Ronnie.
Okay. So I didn't miss anything, man.
So we also see a backstage segment where John Cena's in the back talking to Zack Ryder, who is showing Cena how to fist pump. Cena heads down the hallway, and Zack keeps on going the whole time. Cena is walking. Cena turns around and laughs, and he will be in the ring right after that. So,
hey, at least he got it on screen, you know.
Hey, exactly. You know what? I saw his last video last week where he reaches for the brass ring. It was awesome.
I mean, they're figuring out that this guy can work the mic. He's over with the crowd. They're probably telling him backstage, hey, Zach, just, you know, keep getting better. As you get better in the ring, we'll use you more. I mean, this guy's marketable, and now he's got this whole YouTube video thing going. And like I said last week, there's no more Cutting Edge. There's no MVP Lounge. There's no, you know, highlight reel. Maybe that could be the guy's hook. He could be the new guy to have a segment in the ring interviewing other wrestlers.
Woo, woo, woo. You know it, bro. So next up, we have Miz and Riley in the backstage area. Miz completing, just bashing Riley, saying that he's not intelligent. It's all his fault. He's not the champion. He's not good enough to stand by his side. I was really hoping that Riley was going to fucking show some nuts here. And tell Miz.
Particular fortitude?
Yeah, I was hoping he was going to say, you know what, Miz, fuck you. I'm on SmackDown. I don't need you. But that's not what we got. Instead, we got him sucking up to the Miz. And he says, you know what, Miz, I'm going to go out right now. Watch what I'm about to do. I'm going to prove something to you. So he goes out into the ring and calls out John Cena. So John Cena comes out, makes short work of Alex Riley as he hits the attitude adjustment. And then gets the STF locked onto Riley. So he taps out. Your winner is John Cena in this very impromptu match. And the Miz can just stand there and watch as Alex Riley taps out. Like Sammy Davis Jr.
I just, that phrase is exclusive to the SNS Radio Network.
Absolutely.
I thought when they came out for that first promo and he came out with Miz to start Raw, that I was like, is he on SmackDown?
He is, but he's still supposedly under contract to The Miz. So despite the fact that he's on the SmackDown brand, he gets to be on Raw so he can be Miz's, you know, jabroni. Again, if you want to do something with Riley, separate him from The Miz. That's the best thing for him.
You
right
have
now.
To.
You have to.
And the only way to do that and to do it right is just as The Miz is about to reclaim the world title, have Riley screw him and head to SmackDown.
Well, there you go. So next up, we have a really awesome segment that I'm so proud of. Michael Cole coming out and talking about how he's beaten the King twice and he wants to be inducted in the Hall of Fame as a broadcaster and an in-ring competitor. And just, you know, he's retiring until Jerry the King Lawler says, hey, I want one more match. I want to show the footage of what happened to you last week since I can't touch you. He tries to go to a match between himself and Michael Cole. Michael Cole's not taking the bait. And then Michael Cole goes and gets in his coal mine. And then starts talking about what a great Mother's Day he had. How awesome it was to spend time with his mother on Mother's Day.
Ouch.
And they watched WrestleMania and laughed at him dominating Jerry Lawler. And then he asked the question, so Jerry, what did you do on your Mother's Day? Oh, I'm sorry, I'm so insensitive. Your mother's dead. You know, look, I understand where they're going with this. I understand that you're trying to get heel heat. But is Jerry the King Lawler really okay with this? Because me personally, I wouldn't be. I fucking hate this shit.
You know, it's tough for, and you still have your mother, yes?
I do.
Okay. I don't. And it's tough for me to even be on Xbox Live and hear somebody make a mama joke, even if it's not directed towards me, it pisses me off. So I can only imagine it's hard for Jerry the King Lawler, as fresh as this is to him, to be able to sit there and take that kind of shit. You know, I'm sure he's okay with it, the meeting, and they say it's okay, but deep down inside, I call bullshit. I'm sure he okays it, but still. Yeah, you know, it's got to be tough. I know it's tough on me.
I would seriously, if somebody was pulling that shit with me, I mean, I don't know that I could do the business there. I'm a very passionate person.
I tell you, the number one way to get on my bad side to get that ass whooped real quick is to start using mama jokes.
Yeah, I'm so sick of this fucking Jerry Lawler, Michael Cole shit. I mean, come on. I love Jerry Lawler to death, but do we really need to continue this? This should have been done at WrestleMania. It should have been done at Extreme Rules. Please, end this shit soon. It's getting bad. So, Jack Swagger comes out and makes the save as Jerry the King Lawler attacks Michael Cole. And this is hilarious. The best part of the fucking show for me is when he grabs Michael Cole, who is in the fucking coal mine, by the tie.
Yeah.
And starts pulling him into the plexiglass case of the coal mine. And the reaction of Michael Cole is priceless. His face is all smushed up against the plexiglass. And he looks like he's dead.
Like a bug that just hit the windshield.
Until Jack Swagger comes out and starts beating the holy shit out of Jerry the King Lawler. And then decides that on behalf of Michael Cole, he will accept the match. And take Jerry Lawler up on his terms. The terms being that if Jerry the King Lawler is beaten by Michael Cole, he will induct Michael Cole into the Hall of Fame and give him his Hall of Fame ring. So, yeah, that's going to happen, people. One more match.
I still think one of the lines of the night was, when you were 15, you were working at McDonald's.
Yeah. So, other than that, I mean, Raw hasn't been very entertaining so far.
So what happens if the King wins? What does he get?
Just to beat the shit out of fucking Michael Cole. He gets to tarnish his unblemished record. He gets to give him his loss.
Nice.
It's all about win losses, man. He gets to put his fucking foot in his mouth. I don't know. So next up, we have a United States Championship match. Jack Swagger, Kofi Kingston. Pretty good match back and forth. Jerry the King Lawler actually provides a bit of a distraction on behalf of Kofi Kingston, causing Jack Swagger to lose the match. So Kofi Kingston remains your United States champion, courtesy of the King. So let's see. Next up, we have our main event of the night. The triple threat match to determine the number one contender, Alberto Del Rio, Rey Mysterio, and The Miz. Pretty good match back and forth here. But in the end, The Miz gets the win. Very slyly, too. I believe he rolls up Alberto Del Rio, if I'm not mistaken. No, he rolls up Rey.
Yeah.
So he rolls up Rey Mysterio, gets the win. He's your new number one contender. And to finish Raw off, John Cena comes out, congratulates The Miz, and says that he's going to pick a match where there's no rules, there's no excuses, no disqualifications, no count out, no submissions, no pinfalls. So if Miz wants to become the champion, he straight up has to beat John Cena in an I Quit match. And as everybody starts to walk away, Rey Mysterio is in the ring. R-Truth comes out and basically hits his finisher, the former finisher of both Shelton Benjamin and MVP, the Pay Dirt, knocking Rey Mysterio out as Raw goes off the air. So as he hits the move, R-Truth says, "Now that's the truth." So Ron the Truth Killings gets a little bit of vengeance against
the Rey Mysterio.
So Cena
didn't come out and say, "Well, I've whooped your ass every time we faced each other. We might as well fucking do it one more time."
Pretty much. I will say this. I thought this was a better Raw than last week.
Oh, hell yeah.
But that's not saying much because I really thought last week was horrible. So if I had to give it a grade, I'm going to stick with probably about a C+. Not digging the show.
I would say a C plus. I would say C plus, B minus.
That's my two cents on the Raw brand. I really enjoyed SmackDown last week. I'm glad that I get a chance to cover that on Unplugged, because SmackDown was very wrestling heavy last week.
And it will be.
And I like that. I think that's a good direction. So if they're putting Randy Orton as the focus of the wrestling show, that's not a bad idea in my opinion. So that is our thoughts on Monday Night Raw. We're going to take our last commercial break, come back, take a few phone calls, read a few emails, and then we're going to get the fuck out of here.
That's right.
That's the plan anyway. So with that said, guys, we'll be right back with more Wrestling News Live right here on the SNS Radio Network right after this.
We had Thor.
This is PM Bronze, and you are listening to the outlaw of the IWC, the Trey Dog, and JJ Sette, Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey guys, it's Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ, all caps Sexay of the SNS Radio Network. If you're looking for the latest news in professional wrestling and, of course, some of the best columns on the World Wide Web today, visit headlocks2headlines.com. That's headlocks, the number two, headlines.com. It's the official news site
of the SNS Radio Network, you should make it your official news site as well. Once again, www.headlocks2headlines.com.
Hey, you.
Yeah, I'm talking to you. Have you checked out the new Unplugged on Friday nights? Well, if you haven't, make sure you check out the new Unplugged Friday nights with JJ Sexay at 10:30 Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Mountain Standard Time, where JJ covers SmackDown, video games, and whatever the hell else he feels like. See you in chat.
Hi, gang. This is Mean Gene Okerlund from the WWE, and you're listening to my very dear, close, personal friends, JJ and Trick. I bet those names right. Yeah, I believe I do. Right here on Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network.
Does listening to Wrestling News Live make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan? Would the Trey Dog drink Velvet Sky's bathwater?
Well, hello there, Velvet. That is some good bathwater, baby.
Ow! Listening to Wrestling News Live does make you a smarter, more knowledgeable wrestling fan, although it will not save you any money on your car insurance.
2 months ago, he returned to recapture the TNA World Heavyweight Championship.
Him to be called the face of TNA wrestling is spitting in my face.
Honestly, yeah, he definitely has what it takes.
Sting, honestly, he still got it.
Very few that I respect more, and I'm happy to see Sting back.
Sting knows that he doesn't want to face me.
Which TNA star is willing to sacrifice everything to end the icon Sting's reign once and for all? TNA presents Sacrifice, live Sunday, May 15th, only on pay-per-view. Not getting enough TNA wrestling? It's time to join TNAOnDemand.com, the place to access over 300 hours of classic TNA programming, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. TNAOnDemand.com is the ultimate resource for pay-per-views and exclusive TNA programming. Log on to gain instant access to every TNA DVD ever released. Go to TNAOnDemand.com to get started right now.
Roto Animal, and you're listening to Wrestling News Live. What a rush.
Now, see, what better way to bring us back from commercial break than with WWE Hall of Famer, Road Warrior Animal, who kayfabed us, by the way. Of course, I am Mr. Money on the Mic, JJ Sexay, all caps, mind you, and I'm being joined, of course, by my partner in crime, the founder and host of Wrestling News Live, the Trey Dog. And, you know, one thing springs to mind, that last segment that I should have done. I'm just curious, Trey, and maybe you have the same thoughts, but, you know, Thor's pretty affectionate toward that hammer. Does he sleep with it? I mean, do you know?
Well, I mean, he almost has to, because he who holds Mjolnir holds the power.
Ah, so the power is in his hands. I see.
So, yeah, I mean, if you're big enough and bad enough to pick the hammer up, then you get all Thor's power.
Okay. Well, just something I've always wondered, if he, you know, talks to it, if he sleeps with it, if he bathes with it. I mean, you know, it's just one of those things. Seems like they're kind of inseparable, Thor and his hammer. Mjolnarni or whatever the fuck. Mjolnir, I don't know.
Mjolnir,
whatever the fuck he calls the damn thing. You know, John Deere. I don't know. Whatever he calls it, right?
Exactly.
It is what it is. So I tell you what, now is the time. To each his own. To each his own. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to judge.
I'm not going to judge a blonde-headed guy in tights with a hammer.
What he does with his hammer on his time is his own personal business. I just hope that, you know, he's pretty handy with the ale sometimes. But anyway, that's another story for another time. We're going to open up the phone lines right now if you want to call in to Wrestling News Live and, well, you know, talk about anything we've talked about on the show, whether it was Billy Gunn, you know, the Raw review, any of the news of the week, whatever. Now is your opportunity to do so. You can reach us, obviously, from the Skype line sponsored by HeadlocksToHeadlines.com. Just add Sunday Night Showdown to your buddies list or simply call 501-588-7957 and we'll connect your call. Or you, if you're in the chat right now and you want to call free, use Google Voice, which is right there in the chat room to your right. Just follow the directions, put in your phone number and your name and follow the directions and it should connect you right to us. But one story that I forgot to mention, and we should have brought this up in the news, but you still there, Trey?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. One story I wanted to bring up real quick is the former guest of this show, good friend of the program, Kurt Angle, has apparently signed a 3.5-year deal with TNA Wrestling. And reportedly, he's actually going to be making more money on this deal than the WWE was willing to pay him, than he ever made in the WWE.
I'm not surprised.
Kudos to Kurt. But I wish Kurt well. Good friend of the program, and I like Kurt. He's still one of my favorite athletes. I don't know how to put this. I don't know how I feel about him signing a 3.5-year contract with TNA.
Good and bad in the same breath. Does he have 3 years left in him? Not as a full-time guy. Maybe two, I think. Tops. He's going to be one of those wrestler managers, I'm sure. And probably my mic cut out.
Okay.
I'm having problems with my sound card. I think I'm going to have to get my sound card replaced. Can you hear me now?
I hear you.
It's like it doesn't register that my mic's plugged in sometimes, and I have to go and click IDT audio and then click microphone in.
Huh, that's weird.
Anyway, Kurt Angle on a 3-year deal is a good deal, but bad deal at the same time. I can see how he's probably got maybe 2 years left. He said he wants to go wrestle for the Olympics still, too, so who knows?
Well, time will tell. Either way, I wish the guy luck. You know, I would have personally rather seen him go back to the WWE so I could get for selfish reasons, so I could obviously watch him for one, and two, get a DVD set of Kurt Angle.
Right.
Still waiting on that one, by the way. So, again, the phone lines are open. I guess while I'm waiting on some phone calls, I may as well go ahead and open up the emails and check some of these because, you know, if we don't get participation from you guys calling in, then we'll guess we'll just end the show. With that said, let's go ahead and transition to some emails.
I got mail. Yay! I got mail. Yay!
Of course you have an email, you idiot. Just read it.
So angry, that Chris Jericho. So angry.
He is an angry man.
He really is.
Now he's not dancing anymore.
I've heard that, yeah. This first email comes to us, believe it or not, from someone named Christopher Kelly. And it is it is not the fucking foreign kid. Just want to make sure that we get that out there. This is Christopher Kelly, but not the fucking foreign kid. So he writes in website contact. Hey, guys, been a long time a listener. You guys always have a great show. I've got two questions for you guys tonight. One, will WNL Mobile ever be available for other carriers other than the iPhone? And two, what do you guys think about the way WWE has used The Rock upon his return? Trey?
That's something I'm going to have to get high on. I don't know. That's not my area of expertise, number one. Number two, I thought we had something up through Sunday Night Showdown.
We do. We actually have a mobile app that I believe goes to most smartphones. You just click the Shoutcast link, and it should take you to the mobile stream.
So try that out, and if that's not what you're looking for, then let me know exactly what it is you are looking for, and we'll try to work on it.
So back to this other question. What do you guys think about the way WWE has used The Rock upon his return? I personally love that he's been around, but I think they could use him better. For example, why didn't they have a little segment between him and Lillian this Monday? It would have been a whole lot more entertaining than a crap segment we got with Kali, Hornswoggle, Ziggler, etc. I wish they would utilize him as a special ref or something more than just goofy backstage segments. I'm trying not to hate on the WWE, but this is a guy the IWC has been wanting back for about 6 years now. Now we get it, and the WWE seems not to know what to do with him. Is it me, or am I making too much of this? What are your opinions? Love the show, as always. Keep up the great work. And no, I'm not the fucking foreign kid. Chris M. Kelly.
Well, I'm scared, number one, there's two Chris Kellys out there.
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, I thought one was enough for all of us. Number two, let's phrase it differently. You're saying, are we okay with the way that the WWE has used The Rock? Well, what about the way that The Rock has used the WWE? Because really, he only came back to promote this Fast Five, get one more WrestleMania payoff, and lie to us, telling us that he'd never leave us again. And I'm not real sure if I saw him tonight. I don't know that I saw him the week before his birthday, and I'm kind of let down by the whole thing, but that's just me. I want him to either come full-time or go away full-time. I don't like any of the in-between.
My problem with The Rock, the way they've utilized him, it just doesn't make a lot of sense. First of all, I'm not a big fan of building up a match a year in advance, knowing that he's going to go back to Hollywood, make movies, that John Cena's got a full year ahead of him. You know, he could get injured at any point in time. But they really brought him in to pop a buy rate for WrestleMania, which they did. They did exactly what they set out
and
to do.
And will do again.
But my problem with The Rock is that he really took the focus away from what should have been John Cena and The Miz and inserted himself into it. And I think that in the long run, that hurt Miz more than it did anybody else because he was just that third guy.
100%. He was the sixth toe.
Exactly. And I think that was unfair to him because he worked his ass off to get to that spot. And he should have had the respect as a champion rather than the whole focus be on The Rock and John Cena. If you wanted that, then you should have had The Rock and John Cena and not had The Miz involved in it. So
yeah,
to me,
The Rock and Cena is a separate program.
Exactly. I felt like it was a slap in the face. But my other issue is this.
In your face.
John Cena screws, or excuse me, The Rock screws John Cena out of the belt at WrestleMania. And the next night on Raw, they're buddy-buddy. Oh, hey, I respect you. Oh, well, you cost me the title. Oh, but it's the bigger picture. I want to have a match with you, but let's do it next year. Oh, okay, let's make it the biggest WrestleMania of all time. Hey, no butt hurt. You screwed me out of the title, but that's okay. I'm all right with it. Let's shake hands in the middle of the ring.
I only worked all year to get to WrestleMania for the title.
It's all good.
No,
thanks.
No, but we'll fight each other next year. We'll take it only next year at WrestleMania. Only for me to turn around the next month and win the title anyway. So it's all good.
Yeah, it's cool. I mean, you know, thanks for showing up. Thanks for popping the buy rate. Yeah, I feel like they've
thanks
totally.
Thanks for getting me paid because I'm rich, bitch.
They've totally misused him. Obviously, he had no intentions of getting in the ring until next year. You know, they want more appearances from him so they can pop a buy rate. I don't know. It's just iffy. I wanted to see The Rock come back, too, and I wanted to see more out of what we got. You know, last week was a big disappointment for me. I thought The Rock's birthday celebration was just it was hideous. It wasn't a very good show at all.
I would agree.
So that's just my two cents on it. I want to thank Chris M. Kelly, for sending in the email. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. I believe joining us on the line, we have someone calling in. Welcome to Wrestling News Live.
G'day, Mr. JJ Sexay and the Trey Dog. This would be the Nemmy Nem.
Hey, what's up, Nem?
Believe it or not, not much. Pissed off with wrestling in general, although I will admit that I will actually agree with you guys that this week's Raw was slightly better than last week's Raw.
Couldn't be worse.
But, also, just from what you said before, Trey, that Chris Kelly's the head of talent relations, or in the whole scheme of things, he's the head of talent relations. With your permission, I'd like to be the head of creative, because for God's sake, I'm just fed up with this Randy Orton Christian angle and how everyone's going ape shit at it. Truth be told, what else are you gonna do when you've got basically the hottest guy in the I can't really say since Cena, but you've got the hottest guy in wrestling today coming to SmackDown, and you're not going to give him the belt.
Well, I mean, there is something said for making a guy like that chase for a little while. And I do think that you also got to keep in mind that Christian, you know, has been around quite a while, and we now know by the uproar from the IWC over this title loss how over, in fact, he really was. So it might have made sense in hindsight. Not that what they did was wrong, but it might have made sense in hindsight to get paid for that match. Why wouldn't they just let Christian hold that belt to the pay-per-view and face Randy and lose it on a pay-per-view and get paid for it? It wasn't going to hurt to let Christian hold it for 2 weeks, 3 weeks. The company wasn't going to go bankrupt with Christian holding the title for 3 weeks. And as over as he is, that we now see that we, the you know, intelligent wrestling fan already knew, now Vince and the company has to feel the backlash. They don't care, but they feel the backlash. And now they're going, okay, wait a minute. Maybe he does have some people out there that like him, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, looking back on it, in hindsight, the way to have done this was to have started the feud, have Randy come out and say, this is my show, and the only way to make it my show is to get the belt. So, Christian, you know, I know we're both boys, but I got to take that from you because it's just the law of the jungle. I'm going to be the lion, and to be the lion in the forest, you got to be the king. And to be the king, I got to have that belt.
And you're right on that particular aspect of it. I mean, I personally thought maybe there should have been a triple threat match or something rather than a world title match on SmackDown to determine a number one contender. But, you know, Teddy Long wanted to make a statement. He wanted to have a big title match on Raw or on SmackDown because Raw had their big title match.
Right, and that's understandable. But, I mean, I would have just had Randy come out and cut a promo. Hey, I'm the king of the jungle. To be the king, I got to have the gold. To have the gold, unfortunately, Christian, as good a friend as you and I are, I got to take it from you. That's just the law of the land. And tonight, when I face three other superstars in a four-man number one contender match, I'll be the guy that takes that belt from you at the next pay-per-view. I'm just letting you know in advance to get ready for it.
Now,
I have that match at the pay-per-view, and you got a huge buy rate.
Now, if you did record SmackDown last week, I want you to go back, and I want you to watch the match. I want you to go to the very end of the match after Orton wins the belt, and I want you to look at Randy Orton as he stands over top Christian, and he literally says to him, thank you. I found that to be very respectful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually did. I did notice that. It wasn't that obvious, but it was a very quaint wouldn't be the right word for it, but sort of in that context, I guess. But here was my thing with that. And if Vince didn't want to put the belt on Christian for that, for obviously that sense, or just to have that, you know, feel of, wow, the WWE is actually doing something different for a change, have Alberto Del Rio and Christian in the ladder match, 15-20 minutes. They both scale the ladder, they both punch each other in the head, and they both fall back, hang onto the ladder with their left hand. Like, oh, they're both gone off. They both reach up and grab the belt, and they both pull it down. Simultaneous grabbing of the belt, it's a draw. First ever draw in ladder match history. Teddy Long then comes out on SmackDown and says, you know what? That was a hell of a match that you two had, but neither of you are the champions. Obviously, it's a draw. Neither of you won, but neither of you lost. So, we're going to bring back the King of the Ring. But instead of Christian and Alberto Del Rio being in the King of the Ring, they're automatically in the semifinals, and everyone else has to battle to be in the semifinals with them. I'm just going to assume Randy Orton versus Christian, the match that actually happened, and Alberto Del Rio versus, let's say Kane, okay? And then the final of that is Randy Orton versus Alberto Del Rio, with Del Rio winning. Because what's going to get Del Rio over more as a heel by beating the number one guy in the business? I don't know whether, because the guy's friggin' excellent in Mexico. He's come up here, and it's almost like he's at the top, but he's, you know, like one step off it. And I think he needs that. I think if they'd done that, that would have been the push for him, and he would have just bang over.
Well, let's you know, not necessarily count our chickens before they hatch, but let's hope that Del Rio has a nice long WWE career. And if that is the case, what's the rush?
The only problem I have with that booking scenario is that you can't have in a ladder match some sort of draw. There can't be a non-winner because you're going to piss people off that bought the pay-per-view. And
oh, yeah.
For everything that it was worth, the fact that Christian won the belt. He won the big one. He got the payoff. For everything that happened on the Tuesday following, it was still a huge moment because you were able to bring Edge into the picture, and it was a big moment for the WWE. It was a big moment for Christian. It was a big moment for Edge. So from a standpoint of people buying the pay-per-view, they were happy with that result. Had you had Alberto Del Rio win it, you know, maybe not so much. Had you had some sort of finish where the belt, you know, was still vacated, I think a lot of people would have been bitching about it. So from that standpoint, I mean, I see where you're going. A King of the Ring tournament would work if it was a one-night tournament only.
Yeah, and it was that if you toss and turn about it in that sense, like, would you rather have people bitching that the ladder match was a draw or bitching or even worse that they're bitching that Christian lost the title after 2 days? Like, it's just one of those things that no matter which way it comes out, Alberto winning, Christian losing the belt after 2 days or the draw, everyone's going to be bitching no matter what.
That's true. But I mean, in hindsight, the thing to look at is that for everybody that bitches about Christian losing the belt, he wasn't a guy that probably would have ever worn that belt. So he can honestly be put in the category of guys who've had that belt that deserved it, never got it. He did get it. Whether he was champion for 2 minutes, 10 minutes, a day, 3 weeks, doesn't matter. He was the champion. And granted, I wish they would have given him time, but I understand the business decision. When you look at this company from a business standpoint, Randy Orton is the guy. That show is going to be focused and centered around Randy Orton. It's a television show, and he is the guy. He is the John Cena of the SmackDown brand. And so right now, putting him with the belt was a smart move. I think it's good for business. We'll see what they do with Christian. I got a hunch that they're going to make him a heel, and I got a hunch that they're going to have a hot feud between Christian and Orton over the summer.
Bloody hope so.
Anything else on your mind, Nim?
Apart from if I could possibly do a quick plug, or do you want me to wait that for later?
You know what? We'll go ahead and talk about it. You and I need to, you know, fix the finals. But I do want to let people know that Nim and I have been talking, and we're bringing another show to the network. So I'll let Nim kind of talk to you guys about that.
Okay. It's unfortunately, it's not going to be live. It is actually going to be a tape show. But I think that's actually going to be a hell of a lot better. I'm going to call it WWFD. What would fans do? Is that... you guys are going to send us emails, news, whatever you guys want to talk about, get off your chest, opinions, questions, suggestions, you know, hate mail, whatever the hell you want. You guys just send it to us. We can talk about it, get your ideas out there. You know, it's just pretty much a show where we give the fans the chance to get their voice heard. And we're obviously going to talk about some wrestling news, but it won't even have to be about wrestling. It can be about music, it can be about movies, gaming, sport, whatever the hell you want. And that's what that's basically what would fans do. And this is a show for the fans. Basically it is your show as much as it will be mine. If you want to actually send anything to us right now, I've got a brand new email out, wwfd@ymail.com. It's wwfd@ymail.com. I couldn't get yahoo.com. Someone had already taken it. Something else real quick. I actually want to thank JJ as well, because from what happened, there was a hell of a lot of shenanigans in that from last year, which I won't actually get into because it's all in the past. But I really want to thank JJ, Trey, and anyone else who has actually helped out in helping me get back onto the network. Obviously, it's mostly JJ, of course, but I actually want to thank everyone for just basically letting me have another chance.
No problem, man. And we'll definitely be talking about it more in the future as to when the show's going to debut. I don't know if you want to do it this week or next week. I'm thinking next week might be the proper way that we can spend all week next week kind of promoting it.
Yeah, I should be able to get you a couple of 30-second promos if my mate would actually stop bloody studying and actually, you know, have priorities and call me.
Oh yeah. Nobody wants to, you know, go to college or anything and
make a life
for themselves.
Radio's the way to go. Sorry, mate, go ahead.
No, I said radio's the way to go.
Oh yeah, man. Well it says my mum and dad always tell me I've got the perfect face for radio. And but yeah, it's basically gonna be me, another one of my good mates, who is a very, very prolific in the wrestling knowledge. He's not actually in the wrestling industry, but he's been on many, many chat shows before. And I've also got, I'm also going to be bringing someone who I'm billing as the only Hispanic gold medalist in Sunday Night Showdown history. The only Hispanic gold medalist in Sunday Night Showdown history. Yeah, I'll give you guys more info about that later, though.
My interest is very peaked at this point. Because you know, this is going to be great for Trey, because we don't have any Hispanics on the network as far as show hosts. We have a lot of Hispanic listeners. So,
oh, yeah. Yeah, and at least as well, that way we can get some Spanish questions in as well. And I believe I'm not sure if the other guy, I'm not sure if Zod speaks German or not. He probably does. So yeah, just basically everyone get in your questions and suggestions. WWFD@ymail.com.
And I think we're looking to make this a show that's going to be archived every Saturday, right?
Yes, archived every Saturday, possibly in the, well, whenever the hell you decide to put it up. But yep, archived every Saturday right here on SundayNightShowdown.com. And hopefully as well, I might be able to get a couple of other things organized with you, JJ, as well. Just got some ideas flowing at the moment. But yep, it's... Yeah, I think it's going to be really good investment for me at least. Not sure if it's going to be good for Sunday Night Showdown, but it definitely will be, guys.
I don't think there's anything that can bring us down at this point, but you know.
Oh hell no!
I've been
after
wrong before.
After that interview, man, that was freaking. I'm so downloading this and sending this to everyone in my inbox.
Well, very cool. Well, Nim, thanks for the call. Let's talk in the next day or so and get things finalized. And like I said, we'll probably look at next week to debut this thing, and we'll get promoting on it, man.
No problem at all, man. I'll get you some promos tomorrow.
All right, sounds good, bud.
Sweet, mate. Thanks, guys. See you later.
Talk to you later. All right, let's get back to the emails. I think we have one or two left. We might take one or two, maybe another phone call, and then we're going to call it a night. It's getting late. It's getting late, my friends. This next one comes to us from DJ. Chiming in with his thoughts on Raw. It's that time of year. Oh, you heard it here, folks. Time for horrible fucking Raws. I'm really not looking forward to Over the Limit because of an I Quit match that, hey, they could go back to the 90s and make it exactly like the Rock and Mankind match. They're redoing Billy Gunn might as well do it with this match. Great interview with Billy Gunn. He's a funny motherfucker, and I was a huge fan of DX, so I thank you both for that. Oh, and you could play a massive multiplayer game called Phantasy Star Online for 360, probably the biggest one out there. Again, I don't play a lot of online games for the 360, so I wasn't aware that there was any MMOs for it, but that's cool. I'm glad that you know you guys are
didn't know that.
Letting me know this stuff because, well, I have to plead ignorance. You know, ignorance is bliss, so they say. Fuck Jerry Lawler and the bullshit with Cole. It's boring as hell, and I totally feel bad for Swagger having to work this shit. If Jerry doesn't win it Over the Limit, I call bullshit. Great show. I hope Dusty can get his son on Mortal Kombat to have him do a fatality fucking somebody's eye socket to death. Can Dusty give me a hell yeah to that? Oh, hell yeah, baby. Hell yeah. So there you go. And that was your email from DJ. So let's go to the phone lines. I believe we have someone joining us. Welcome to Wrestling News Live. Who's this?
Hey, it's Loki. Loki07 in the chat.
Oh, hey, what's up, Loki?
Yeah, I'm excited. I just rediscovered you guys.
Well, cool, man.
And I want to know. I wanted to get your opinions on the current WWE roster. Who do you guys think is the next breakout star?
Trey, you want to go first?
Basically, we kind of covered this a little while ago. As far as breakout stars are concerned, I'm going with Dolph Ziggler, 100%. JJ,
I like Ziggler. I would still consider him a breakout star. I mean, I'm not a big fan of this new gimmick, you know, with the hair change. I don't know what they're doing with him, but I'd like to think Ziggler's going to be a big star on the SmackDown brand. Let me see, who really kind of stands out? I think Zeke could be a major player in about a year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still real partial to Jomo.
Oh, yeah.
If they would ever just commit to a push and he'd keep his mouth shut and dump Melina, he might actually be somebody. So those are guys really for me that I think are going to do well. As far as mid-card guys, well, and Sheamus is another one, but I mean, he's already been a champion, so he's not really a breakout star. I'd like to see more done with Daniel Bryan on SmackDown. since that's the wrestling show, and I think that's where he could shine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, like my opinion, like Daniel Bryan, I think he's probably get over like Benoit on his actual in-ring ability instead of the mic work.
Absolutely.
Over time.
And I've actually been really high on Cody Rhodes lately.
Yes, Cody is another one I think could be a breakout star.
He's a good one.
You know what? I'm not as big into Sin Cara as everybody seems to think. Like I think it's funny they had to move him to SmackDown so that they could edit his matches to make him look good on TV.
Yeah, and I don't think that he speaks English either, so.
That's another knock on him. So, I'd like to see Tyson Kidd get a decent push. I really wish they had a cruiserweight division. But I would say Cody Rhodes, John Morrison.
Cody Rhodes.
And Dolph Ziggler would be breakout stars.
Okay, all right. Well, thanks, guys.
Well, thanks for the call, Loki.
All right, bye.
Who the hell is Cody Rhodes?
You know, I find it amazing that we had Thor call, and then that was Loki.
Although, the brother of Thor.
The brother of Thor, yes.
Yeah.
You know, all we're missing now is Odin. Somebody have Kevin Nash call in. Yeah, get Big Kev to call in. We're looking for Big Kev.
Paging Big Kev.
We should bring him back on the show and talk about this Thor movie.
I'd like to.
I'd love to get his thoughts on it. Of course, I would actually have to watch it first. But.
Great Odin's ghost.
Let's see. I'm just looking over to see if there's any other emails on these other addresses, since sometimes I get random stuff. I did want to let you guys know before we get out of here that I did some adjusting to the Facebook page. The Facebook group used to be known as Sunday Night Showdown because, well, I was sent a message by Facebook saying that the group was going to be archived. So it's pretty much changed up the way that I used to do things on the SNS page. So I had to upgrade the group. I'm not able to send a mass email like I used to do. I now just have to do a post. So the updated group is now called SNS Radio Network. So look for that on Facebook. You can join it. We still have all the archives of the shows there. And I recently put up a poll, or not really a poll, but I basically put up something that I want you guys to interact with. It's basically you telling us who you are and where you listen from, what country of origin. Because we find on this show that we get a lot of people from other countries. I know there's a lot of people in the U.S., a lot of people in Canada, you know, England, U.K., Ireland, Scotland. But the main purpose is I want to find out where you guys are listening, because I want to find out where WNL has the foothold on the international market. We know that we're dominating the world. I just want to know where you are in the world. And so once I get everybody posting on that, I'll probably put together some sort of a geographic thing that shows where WNL is dominating in those countries. But that's the main purpose for it. So definitely check out the Facebook page, SNS Radio Network, and give us your thoughts. Tell us where you're from, how long you've been listening, whatever you want to add to it. I mean, that's the way to go.
What you like, what you don't like.
And the thing is, if you do join the group, take the chat option off, take the email option off every time somebody posts something, or you're going to get a lot of fucking messages, a lot of notifications. So on that note, before we get out of here, we also are very vocal on Twitter.
Twitter.com/TreyWNL, that's TreyWNL. And you can also find me on Xbox Live, TDAWWNL, that's TDAWGWNL.
You can also reach me on Twitter at SNS_JJSexA1. And you can find me, obviously, on Xbox Live at JJackson33. So feel free to hit me up with those anytime you'd like. And
I have a Facebook page, and I believe it's Facebook Trey on the Radio.
And mine is just Jeff Jackson.
Yeah.
I'm not hard to find. If you're a friend of the SNS Radio Network, you'll find me. So on that note, I think it's time we kind of wrap things up. I want to see those pages start getting hits. I want to get more members. We want to do things. We want to take over the world with this fucking network, with this show. Any final thoughts, Trey?
Final thoughts. Another good week. Great interview with Billy Gunn and a great interview with Thor. And we're branching out even further. Tell your friends that, we're on Justin.TV also. And if you're tired of listening where you're listening from and you want to change it up a little bit, give it a shot. Like I said, now we're just stretched out to more audience. You can find us on Ustream, thanks to Brass Eye. And now you can find us on Justin.TV, thanks to Concept. And that puts us now at Audio Wrestling, Wrestling-Online, Ustream, Justin TV, WrestlingNewsLive.tk, and SundayNightShowdown.com. That's six places right now on top of my head you can catch the show. And if you're an archive listener, please tell us, you know, what we want to know on the Facebook page, where you're from, where you listen, all that, like JJ just talked about. It's not just for live listeners, it's for archive listeners also.
That's right. And we want your feedback. We want to know what you like, what you don't like. Let us know. Be honest. On that note, with all the places you can listen to this show and the other ones here on the network, if you're not listening, you're not trying, let us know what's going on, guys. On that note, as far as the rest of the programming this week, the CauseCast returns tomorrow with myself and the Phenom Charles Shane. Before the CauseCast, I do believe the Lounge with Rick and Ludwig will be broadcasting, so check those guys out. You never know what they're going to do on this network. They're very crazy.
Right.
Wednesday, the Pro Wrestling Rewind returns with The Power, Andy Knowles, and Mike Siciliano. And then on Friday, I'm back with another episode of Unplugged. Who knows what's going to happen there? Because it gets kind of crazy from time to time on that show. Last week, Crelly was drunk, and we played a drinking game, and things just got out of control. And this Sunday, don't forget, TNA has a pay-per-view. I know, believe it or not, it's crazy. And Sunday Night Showdown will be represented by Mark the Shark DiCarlo, Internet Dave, and I believe the Trey Dog is going to be joining them for this one for Sacrifice. So definitely check those guys out on Sunday as they give you live pay-per-view coverage. I, of course, will not be there because, well, I boycott TNA. So on that note, on behalf of the Trey Dog, I'm JJ Sexay.
That's me, baby.
And we are going to kick it over to JSK, and we will see you guys next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, right here on Wrestling News Live on the SNS Radio Network. See you next week, guys.
See ya.
Cool. With that being said, thank you very much for listening to the show. Thanks for everybody that participates in the forum boards, and thanks for everybody participating in the chat room. Until next week, peace, 420, kiss my ass. Good night, white people. I'm out.
You wired me awake and hit me with a hand of broken nails. You tied my lead and pulled my chain to watch my blood begin to boil. But I'm gonna break, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, gonna break my rusty cage and run. Too cold to start a fire, I'm burning diesel, burning dinosaur bones. I'll take the river down to still water and ride a pack of dogs. I'm gonna break, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, gonna break my rusty cage and run.
This is where the song gets kind of badass right here. Look at that riff, man.
When the forest burns along the road, like God's eyes in my headlights, when the dogs are looking for their bones, and it's raining ice picks on your steel shore. I'm gonna break, I'm gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, gonna break my rusty cage and run. I'm gonna break, gonna break my rusty cage.
Baby, you better run. He's gonna break that rusty cage. He's gonna rip them arms out of the fucking eye socket. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness gracious.
Live is not affiliated with the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, or any other professional wrestling and or entertainment companies, and exclusive to the SNS Radio Network.
Oh, you still here? You've been here almost 3.5 hours. You need to go home now. Show over. Goodbye.